KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
We now go live to Reading Colt 45's baseball.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to another live broadcast of your Reading Colt 45's baseball. We are welcoming both teams out onto the field right now. We're about to start the national anthem here at Tiger Field. It's going to be Mr. Ron Jasecki out there tonight singing for us. And well, he's walking out onto the field right now. And with that, we're going to head straight into it.
And you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we wore were so gallantly streaked, and the rocket red glare. In air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Phenomenal performance there from, again, Mr. Ron Jasecki. So that'll bring out the Colt 45's defense onto the field. I'll go ahead and read off the lineup for y'all out there. It's going to be Arif Camacho once again hitting in that one spot, playing shortstop. Following him will be Kyle Norton playing first base. Bryce Tweet's going to be in center field once again. He'll be batting third as always. It'll be Wyatt Reginato batting cleanup, and he'll be back at third base tonight for the Colt 45s. Following him will be Blake Tweet back in the lineup tonight. He'll be playing right field like we're used to. Number 24, Derek Ray, is going to be batting sixth tonight, and he'll be in left. It'll be Nate Scott designated hit as the designated hitter, and he'll be in that number seven spot. Mateo Mendoza will be behind the plate for the Colt 45s, and he is going to be batting in that number eight spot. And then to finish things off for the Colt 45s, it'll be Jonathan Kumai, and he'll be playing second as usual. For the Fairfield Indians, actually, I'm sorry, forgot to give you who's pitching for the Colt 45s. It's going to be Peyton Jeffries out there on the mound trying to get it done for him tonight. And now I'll read off to you who he's going to be going up against. It'll be Mickey Nunez starting things off for the Fairfield Indians playing second base. DeAndre Gaines will follow playing shortstop and batting second. Ike Brown going to be playing third base. Sorry, DeAndre Gaines is in center field. I have a little typo here, but DeAndre Gaines will be in center field. Following him will be Ike Brown, again playing third base. Cameron Appling will be the designated hitter, batting cleanup for the Indians. Braxton King will be playing shortstop and hitting fifth. It'll be Will Robeson behind him and behind the plate once again. Zion Judkins will be over there at first base and batting seventh. Jalen Edmonds is going to be left field, and he'll be batting eighth. And to finish things up for the Indians, it's going to be Ivory Jones playing right field. Justin Bostaya is on the mound for the Fairfield Indians today. And with that, it looks like the plate meeting is going to clear up. Mateo Mendoza will head behind the plate, and Peyton Jeffries will get started warming up. Well, if you're with us last night, you'll remember that played about 3.5 innings, 3 2/3, and then the game was rained out. It was raining pretty heavy in the bottom of the third inning, which ultimately caused last night's Indians pitcher, I believe it was, well, give me a second to check here. It was Jameson Hogarth on the mound, and he had a pretty impressive performance up until that point. And then when the rain started coming down, he allowed three consecutive walks that ended up loading the bases, and ultimately, on the last pitch of the game, what turned out to be, he threw a wild pitch that went to the backstop and allowed to run to score, which was uncharacteristic of him throughout the night, which, well, it led to the umpires coming out and checking the mound. They found that it was getting pretty slick, as the ball was getting pretty slick as well, so Hogarth was just having a little bit of trouble gripping it. So, after even more rainfall and about a 30-minute delay, they decided just to go ahead and call it. I have not yet received word whether they're going to make up that game or what the deal is going to be with that. However, tonight it is a whole new ball game. Again, we've got Peyton Jeffries out there on the mound for the Colt 45s. And like that, we're going to welcome up Mickey Nunez, that number one spot, to the plate to start off the game. Now the home plate umpire is going to be saying something to that on-deck batter. They're asking him to get the bats inside the dugout. So Mr. Nunez is going to step up to the plate, and he'll start off this game. Let's see what he does. Pitch from Jeffries. Here it comes. Fastball right across the plate, strike one. 0-1 count to start off Mickey Nunez. Has a nice pitch. Here comes the next one. Almost the exact same spot. Another fastball that came right across the plate for strike two. Nunez hesitant to pull the trigger, but that was probably as good a pitch as he'll get. Now the 0-2. Here comes the delivery. That one's going to be fouled back and to the left. Count remain no balls and two strikes. It was another fastball, almost identical to the previous two. This time Nunez decided to pull the trigger. However, facing some impressive velocity from the pitcher Jeffries, he was only able to foul that one off to the right side. Now it's going to be another fastball. This one will miss high, however. So the count will move to a ball and two strikes. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Curveball, and it's going to hit Mickey Nunez. in the back of the foot. Had some good movement, just did not move the direction they wanted it. So Nunez will be on with because he was hit. And interestingly enough, that was actually the same way that we got this game started yesterday. No, I'm sorry, it was a walk. For some reason, I thought Mickey Nunez was hit by a pitch yesterday in his first at-bat. Anyways, it'll be DeAndre Gaines up to the plate tonight for the Fairfield Indians now. He's got a runner on first, no outs. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be a low fastball, a little too low for the strike zone. Count's going to become a ball and no strikes. Nunez getting a good leadoff of first. Here comes the pitch. Fastball down the middle, strike one. It was a little low. DeAndre Gaines thought it was too low. Called a strike, however. So the count's going to be evened up at 1-1. Now the pitch from Jeffries. High fastball. This one's going to be fouled off into the right side of the parking lot. Fairfield Indians have swung the bat twice tonight between Nunez and Gaines, and both of them have been fouled off to the opposite side. They're having trouble catching up with that fastball from Jeffries. Now the pitch is going to be driven into center field. Under it is Bryce Tweed, and he will make the catch. The wind caught it a little bit. He ended up having to drift over towards the right side, but DeAndre Gaines is going to be put away on a flyout to center field. So it'll be Ike Brown, the third baseman, coming up tonight. Brown is, he's a big right-hander, number four. I've said it a few times already throughout the series, but he takes up almost the entire batter's box with his stance. And now the 0-0 pitch from Jeffries, here it comes. It's going to be swung on and fouled back into the net. Count will be no balls and a strike with an out. We've got Nunez still over there at first. Now the 0-1 pitch. Another fastball swung on, this time missed for strike two. That fastball sure is working for Peyton Jeffries tonight. Now no balls and two strikes. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Brown lays off of it that time for ball one. That was a good pitch from Jeffries, trying to walk him up the ladder there. However, Brown shows some good discipline laying off of it. Now he's going to ground one up the middle. Kumai's got it on a backhand glove flip to Camacho at second, over to first. Double play. My, oh my. That was as impressive as a play as you will ever see. Jonathan Kumai slid on a knee to backhand that ball as it was going up the middle, then flipped it with his glove to Camacho, covering second, who threw it over to first, and they got the double play to get Jeffries out of the inning. Exactly how the Colt 45s want to start out this game. They'll go in and grab the bats now as we head into the bottom of the first. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They're tonight's sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball, and they've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go pay them a visit and get yourself a bite to eat. And we'll head to the bottom of the second.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
This is Carl Bott. Join us Monday as we welcome Dr. Doug Craig and we talk about mass shootings in the United States. These mass shootings are not caused just by guns. There's a lot of other problems, and we're going to address that all on Monday, right here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the first inning at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Fairfield Indians. It's the second game of what was supposed to be a four-game set. It'll probably become a three-game set after the rainout last night. It'll be Areve Camacho up to bat to start things off for the Colt 45s tonight. He'll be facing off against Justin Bostaya. Here comes the first pitch. Curveball high, ball one. So the count will be a ball and no strikes to Areve Camacho. Now the 1-0 pitch. Low fastball. That one's going to be ball two. So quickly, Camacho jumps ahead in the count. Two balls and no strikes. Now Bostaya sets up again. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball goes right past the glove of the catcher, Will Robeson, and that'll bring it to a 3-0 count. So Bostaya seemingly having quite a bit of trouble with his control to start things off early here. Now I'll set up once again. Here's the 3-0 pitch. That'll be a fastball in there for strike one. So after throwing three consecutive balls to start things off, he's able to find the strike zone. Count moves to three balls and a strike now. Camacho steps back in. Here comes the 3-1 pitch. Fastball, low, ball four. That was close to the zone, but not close enough. So Camacho's on with a walk. That'll bring up Kyle Norton. We saw it in the first game with this Indians team. Walks were a pretty big problem. In fact, walks kind of have been plaguing the opponents of the Colt 45s throughout the season. We haven't seen a lot of teams that have really disciplined control over their pitching. Let's see if the Indians can turn around the narrative tonight, however. Norton's going to line one down the first baseline. That'll be a base hit, maybe more. Norton's going to hold up at first, but Camacho will head over to third. Now an overthrow is going to get Norton stuck in a pickle. And now Camacho over there at third is threatening. He's going to go home. The throw home is going to be not in time. Camacho's in there safely. And Norton's over there at second. Well-executed play from the Colt 45s there. Gets a run scored. Well, it was a hard ground ball. It was a line shot down the first baseline, past the glove of that first baseman, Zion Judkins. The right fielder, Ivory Jones, picked it up in right field and threw it to second. However, it got away from the middle infielders and kind of dribbled about 10 feet away, and while they were chasing after it, Norton ran it just about halfway in between first and second and then stopped. That drew a throw. They caught him in a pickle, and then while the Indians were dealing with him, Camacho took home. The throw was not in time, and now Bryce Tweed is going to line out to the shortstop. Sorry, I took a little too long with the description there. It was Bryce Tweed up to the plate. He swung on the first pitch and hit a shot to that shortstop, Raxton King, for out number one. But, well, Norton just did a great job of distracting the Indians and drawing the throw. And then Camacho, with that deadly speed, just barely beat the throw home. And it'll be a 1-0 ball game now with a runner on second and one out after the Bryce Tweed line out. Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman, coming up to the plate. Here's the first pitch. It's going to be a curveball in the dirt. Nice block there by Robeson. Keeps it in front. Holds Norton on second. Reginato steps back into the box. The count is no balls and a strike. Here it comes. Swung on and grounded weakly to the second baseman. He'll throw on over to first for out number two. Norton's going to move on over to third.
Now coming to bat.
And that'll bring up Blake Tweed. Tweed going to step up into the box. Now, if you were here watching the ball game, the only way you'd really be able to tell the difference between him and his brother would either be the number on his back, on their backs, or their stances. And by stances, I mean one is right-handed and one is left-handed. So one's sitting in that right-hander's batter box, and that's going to be Blake Tweed right now, who watches a fastball go by for strike one. It's going to be no balls and a strike to Blake Tweed. Bryce Tweed is the power-hitting left-hander. Now the 0-1 pitch. Here it comes. In the dirt. It gets away from Robeson. Norton's coming home, and he will score standing up. Just like that, the score turns 2-0. And Blake Tweed will be looking at a 1-1 count. Ball and a strike with two outs. Score here is 2-0. Colt 45's lead in the bottom of the first inning. Osai comes set. He's got two outs. Here comes the pitch. Low in the dirt for ball two. So once again, that lack of control, unfortunately, comes back and hurts the Indians early in this game. Now the 2-1 pitch, here it comes. That's going to be swung on and driven deep to left center field. It's going back, and unfortunately, the center fielder, DeAndre Gaines, is going to get under it and make the catch just before the warning track. So the Colt 45s score a couple of runs. We're going to head to the top of the second, but remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They have just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market features sandwiches and burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order. Or you can even order online.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the second inning. It's going to be Cameron Appling, the designated hitter, coming up to the plate. Appling, big fella, had that long two-run shot in the first game against the Colt 45s. Now he's going to watch a fastball go by across the outside corner for strike one. There'll be no balls in a strike to Appling to start him off.
Now the 0-1 pitch. Fastball swung on and missed this time by Appling. He could not catch up on that one. Count quickly moves to 0-2. Now Jeffries is going to shake off a couple of signs. Now this one he likes. Here's the pitch. Fastball. This one's going to be a jam shot into shallow center field. Camacho's back on it, and he'll make the catch as Appling pops out for the first out of the inning. We got a pretty good crowd here tonight at Tiger Field. Almost the entire left side of these bleachers are filled up. Over on the right side, it's pretty filled up as well. Now, first pitch to Braxton King, the shortstop, is going to be a fastball. This one's going to be fouled off, lifted high and into the parking lot. So it's been four consecutive strikes thrown for Peyton Jeffries. He's got good command of that fastball tonight. Here's the pitch. That's going to be an off-speed. Looks like a changeup just below the knees of King for ball one. So that'll be a ball and a strike now to the tall shortstop. Now the 1-1 pitch. Curveball. That one will find the bottom of the strike zone on that lower inside corner. Count's going to be a ball and two strikes now to King. And here comes the 1-2 pitch. High fastball. Swung on and missed. Exactly what Jeffries wanted to do there for strike three. Walked King up the ladder, and King indeed did chase. So that's out number two as Will Robeson, the catcher, comes up to the plate. Jeffries looking for a perfect inning here. Comes the 0-0 pitch to Robeson. High fastball. Very high fastball for ball one. Here comes the 1-0 pitch. Curveball doesn't quite find the strike zone. It'll be two balls and no strikes now to Will Robeson. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be lined into left field, and it'll be fair. Robeson now heading for second, and he'll be in there standing up as left fielder Ray tracks the ball down and gets it in.
And folks, the previous batter, number 8, is our beer batter. So all beer is $4 for the rest of the year.
So Will Robeson has himself a double to start things off here for the Indians with two outs. That'll bring up Zion Judkins, the first baseman, to the plate. Jeffries now has a little bit of a threat there on second base. He'll work to eliminate Judkins quickly and get out of the inning. The pitch swung on and missed strike one. Judkins just swung straight through that one. That sure was a hack. Doesn't quite make contact, however. No balls and a strike. Jeffries sets up. Take a look at Robeson on second. Now the pitch. In the dirt, blocked by Mendoza. Nice block there by Mendoza. The count moves to a ball and a strike to Judkins. Robeson taking his lead off a second. Those middle infielders aren't holding him on too tight. Here's the pitch. Fastball just a bit outside. Kent's going to move over to two balls and a strike now. Two balls, one strike, two outs, runner on second. Here comes the pitch from Jeffries. Fastball right down the middle, strike two. Kent's going to be evened up now at two balls and two strikes. Again, we've got two outs here in the top of the second. Jeffrey sets up. Here comes the pitch. Off speed, misses the outside corner. Count's going to become full now. Now this is a pitch that Jeffries really needs He's got two outs. He doesn't want to put another runner on. Here it comes. Fastball swung on and missed. Strike three. So Jeffries indeed gets out of it, and the Colts will head in and grab the bats and look to extend that two-run lead when we go into the bottom of the second inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So give them a call, 530-691-4333 to place your order. Order online or go in and order inside yourself. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Fairfield Indians. Justin Bosaya back out onto the mound for the Indians. Score here is 2-0 as the Colts look to extend that two-run lead. Right now we are watching some kids on the left field line play a game, some sort of race, and well, now it looks like we're going to welcome up Derek Ray to the plate, or it's going to be another minute. Umpire exchanging a few words with the pitcher and catcher. Now Derek Ray is going to have a conversation with one of his coaches, and they're talking about what they want to do in this situation to lead off the inning. You got to be wondering, Ray, one of the outfielders for the Colt 45s. I mean, he's got some speed, obviously, if he's playing in left field. So you got to wonder if they're thinking about maybe a leadoff bunt. However, Ray does have some power behind that bat. He's got the potential to do damage. And now he'll finally stride up to the plate.
Now batting for the Reading Colt 45.
Ray is coming out of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He's been kind of in and out of the lineup as of late. He often occupies that designated hitter spot for the Colt 45s. Tonight he'll be playing in left, though. Now the 0-0 pitch to Ray is going to be fastball low for ball one, and it looks like they don't actually have any intention of laying down a bunt here. 1-0 is the count. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled into left field for a base hit. And Derek Ray has himself a leadoff single. So that'll bring up Nate Scott to the plate. Scott is actually in that designated hitter spot tonight. He's occupied it a couple times throughout the season. He also plays a little bit of first base for the Colt 45s when Norton is not. And now with a runner on first, Scott will be looking to do a job here for the Colt 45s. Again, they've got no outs. And now Bosai is going to shake off a few signs from his catcher before taking one he likes. Now the pitch, here it comes. Curveball in the dirt. Nice pick by the catcher Robeson that holds Derek Ray over there at first. The count's going to be a ball and no strikes to Nate Scott. Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. That one is going to go behind Scott, and it'll go to the wall. Derek Ray going to take second. For some reason, Robeson decided to throw the ball down. I mean, he caught it off of what looked like to be a couple hops after it hit the concrete on the backstop and bounced right back to him, but there was really no shot. I'm not sure why he decided to throw that ball down. It'll be two balls and no strikes to Scott now with runner on second, no outs. Already the Indians struggling a bit here. Well, there's going to be a curveball in the dirt. That one's going to skirt away from Robeson. And Ray is going to take third. Now Robeson will call time, head out to the mound. Actually, the entire infield is going to head out to the mound. And so is one of the coaches for the Indians organization. They're having a little chat. Probably just trying to calm Bostaya down a little bit. Now Robeson's going to come back behind the plate. Coach is going to stay out there and say a few more words to Bostaya. The count is three balls and no strikes. Again, they've got Derek Ray over there at third base. Now the Indians coach will head back into the dugout. He's walking away as the umpires saying a few words to him, it looks like. Not so sure what that was about. But it'll be a 3-0 count again to Nate Scott. I can't imagine he'll swing at anything unless it is right in his wheelhouse. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. In the dirt, ball four. And that one's going to skirt away from Robeson once again, but he gets to it quick enough that Ray is going to hold up at third. The Colt 45s will have runners at the corners now with no outs. It's Mateo Mendoza comes up to the plate. Mendoza's got a chance to get an RBI here. Fly ball into the outfield would do it. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, once again, Robeson blocks it this time, and that's got to be the fourth or fifth pitch that Bostaya has spiked into the dirt this inning. Again, like we said, Indians pitchers in that first game of the series struggled with control quite a bit, and it kind of looks like, unfortunately, the same thing is happening to Bostaya here. Now the 1-0 pitch is going to go behind the head of Mendoza. That's the second time Bostaya has thrown behind a batter. Robeson trying desperately to get him to calm down. He is just jittery on the mound, and you can tell. 2-0 is the count to Mendoza. Again, runners at first and third. Comes the pitch. Curveball, that one's going to hit Mendoza. So Mendoza's going to head on over to first. The bases will be loaded for the Colt 45s. No activity in the Indians bullpen yet. That's a bit surprising, being completely honest. And now it looks like that's about to change. We got somebody heading out to that bullpen, or at least going out there to stretch. Bases are going to be loaded for Jonathan Kumai with no outs here in the bottom of the second inning. Now, Kumai had that two-run home run in the first game of the series. He ended up going three for four in that game with a couple of singles to add on to the home run. Now, with the bases loaded, he's got a chance to do more damage. Now, he's going to watch an inside fastball kind of at the ankles go by for ball one. Corner infielders are playing in, looking for that double play at home, or just a force out. And now Kumai's going to get hit with a fastball, and he's going to head on over to first. So it's a real tough start for Justin Bostaya here.
Coming to bat.
And there is indeed activity over in that Indians bullpen. So the score moves to 3-0 here in the bottom of the second. We're going to watch the top of the order for the Colt 45s come up now. It'll be Arive Camacho at the plate. Now his first pitch is going to be in the dirt, blocked by Robeson. It'll be a ball and no strikes. And Bosaya hasn't thrown a strike in about 6 or 7 pitches. So 1-0 is the count to Camacho. Now Bosaya sets up. Here comes the pitch. Curveball. That one will fall into the strike zone, so Bosaya gets himself a strike. It'll be a ball and a strike to Arive Camacho. Camacho walked in the first inning. So far, Bosaya has walked 2 runners and hit 2 others here in the bottom of the second without any outs. Now the 1-1 pitch in the dirt again, blocked by Robeson. Now Robeson's just kind of going to look at his pitcher and, well, he's visibly upset. So the umpire is actually going to call time. He's going to bring out a new ball and have a chat with the pitcher, Bosaya. I've never seen that before. Umpire, I think, wants Bosaya to calm down as much as his catcher does and really focus on just getting a couple strikes. The count's going to be 2-1 to Arive Camacho. Unfortunately, Bosaya just absolutely struggling with his command. He's having a hard time finding that strike zone. Again, corners are going to be in. Middle infielder's playing at double play depth. And now Camacho's going to get hit. So it's going to be Kyle Norton coming up to bat. The last 4 batters have either been walked or hit by a pitch. And now they're going to bring in a new pitcher. I think they were just trying to get as much time out of Bosaya as possible so they could bring in, they could give a little more time to their bullpen to warm up. So we'll have a new pitcher here in the bottom of the second. Colt 45's lead 4-0. And, well, we'll be back after a short break.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Well, alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning. It's a new pitcher in there for the Fairfield Indians. It'll be Carson Williams, number 37, coming in to relieve Justin Bosaya. Bosaya just having a hard time finding the strike zone tonight. Hit a couple of batters on the Colt 45s and walked a couple more. It'll be, Kyle Norton up to bat. For the second time tonight, Norton had that RBI single in the first inning. That was that nice lined ground ball down the first baseline that drew an overthrow from the right fielder and allowed Norton to get himself into a little bit of a strategic pickle, which ultimately allowed Camacho, who had been at third base, to score. So now with the bases loaded, Norton has the chance to do even more damage. 4-0 is the score, and now Williams is going to throw a fastball in the dirt. And now Robeson looks even more upset. I feel a little bad for that guy behind the plate. He is just kind of taking a beating back there. He has seen more balls in the dirt in this knees like two innings. Well, we haven't even played two innings. We played an inning and a half, and he's seen more balls in the dirt in that inning and a half than I think I've ever seen in a game. Even when I was catching in high school, I don't think I've ever seen this many balls in the dirt, even throughout an entire game. And now Carson Williams is going to throw another fastball in the dirt for ball two. It's going to be a 2-0 count to Kyle Norton. And now Robeson is going to go out to the mound, and you can tell by his body language he is annoyed and frustrated, and he is really getting emphatic with his pitcher. So now Robeson heads back behind the plate. 2-0 is the count. Norton standing in there. Here comes the pitch. Fastball. It's going to be low for ball three. So Williams starts this one off with three consecutive balls. It'll be a 3-0 count. Now Williams sets up. Here comes the pitch. Inside, fastball, ball four. So the Indians walk in yet another run. That is the fifth consecutive free base they have given up now. And that'll bring up Bryce Tweed. Tweed lined out to the shortstop in his last at-bat. And now, once again, he'll be working with the bases loaded. The Indians really need a defensive boost here, maybe a double play or something of the sort. They trail 5-0 here in the bottom of the second. Here's the pitch to Tweed. Inside fastball, ball one. So Carson Williams has yet to throw a strike. He's started his outing with five consecutive balls. 1-0 is the count. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, again, inside, but umpire says that one catches the strike zone. Pretty similar spot. I don't know if it really was a strike. Might have been a little bit of a pity call there. Count will turn over to a ball and a strike now, however. Here comes a 1-1 pitch. Outside curveball, that one doesn't catch the zone. It'll be 2-1 to Bryce Tweed. Wyatt Reginato grounded out, and his first at-bat is over there on deck, trying to get timed up against Williams. 2-1 pitch, here it is. It's going to hit Tweed right in the shin. That one can't feel good, and now Tweed's going to kind of grimace and take a few steps before walking over to first. So that'll be six consecutive free bases that the Indians have given up. Four from the previous pitcher, Justin Bosaya, and now two from Carson Williams, the pitcher. Tweed not wearing an Evo shield or anything on that front foot. That one just drilled him right in the side of the shin. And he still looks to be in a little bit of pain. Time is called. He's trying to walk it off over there at first base. And now he'll head on over to the bag. And we'll get things rolling here again. 6-0 is the score to start us off here in the bottom of the second. No activity in that Indians bullpen. They intend to keep Williams in. Now the pitch to Reginato. It's going to be a fastball low. Again, misses the zone for ball one. Count's going to be a quick 1-0 to Reginato now. Williams will set up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball. This one's going to be drilled into left field for a base hit. One run will score. Now it's going to be Norton coming around third, and he'll score as well. So a two-run single for Wyatt Reginato. Extends the Colt 45's lead to 8-0 here in the bottom of the second inning. That'll bring up Blake Tweed now for the second time tonight. Tweed flew out to deep left center field in his last at-bat. Now he's got runners on first and second. He has a chance to drive in his brother to extend the lead. Here comes the pitch. Swing on. This one's going to be driven up the middle for a base hit. Bryce Tweed indeed headed around third. He's going home to play at the plate. And the throw's going to be in time. They got Bryce Tweed coming around. So a nice throw there from the center fielder, DeAndre Gaines. Eliminates Tweed at the plate.
Good job.
And the score will remain 8-0. But Blake Tweed has himself a single.
Coming to bat, left fielder, 24, Derek Ray.
Derek Ray going to come out to the plate now. He singled in his last at-bat. Williams comes set. Here's the pitch. High fastball. This one's going to be popped straight up to the second baseman. He's under it, and he's going to make the catch. That was Mickey Nunez on the play for out number two. So two outs here in the bottom of the second now for the Indians. Colt 45 has scored six in this inning. And that'll bring up Nate Scott, the designated hitter. Scott, I believe, started off this inning. He walked to start this one off. Now he's going to swing at one and lift it high into right field. Right fielder giving chase, and he is going to lose it in the sun. It'll fall foul. He just overran that one, couldn't quite make the catch. So it falls behind him. Scott there kind of giving a second life. And he'll head back to the box with no balls and a strike. Now, I apologize. I think I said Nate Scott started off the inning. Was it Nate Scott? I'm not sure. It was either Scott or Ray. Now runners are going to go. However, Scott's going to foul this one off for strike two. It'll be no balls and two strikes. Two outs, 0-2 count to Scott. Williams comes set. Here's the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to be fouled off. Williams, all of a sudden, seems to have gained a lot better control over most of his pitches. Remember, he started off his relief of Bosaya with a walk and then a hit batter. Now he'll come set once again. 0-2 remains the count. Here's the pitch. Fastball. This one's going to be lifted high into right center field. Right fielder going back, and he will get under it and make the catch this time. Sun bothered him a bit, but not too much. Well, the Colt 45s score six. They're going to leave a couple of runners stranded as we head into the top of the third. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go pay them a visit and grab yourselves a bite to eat.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring electronic products and services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the third inning. It's going to be Peyton Jeffries back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. Should be Jalen Edmonds coming up to the plate to start off this inning. The Indians are in quite a hole after two innings. They trail 8-0 at the moment. And now Mendoza's going to throw on over to second. And the ball will come back around to Jeffries, and we'll get the top of the third started.
Coming to bat, left fielder, number 19, Jalen Edmonds.
Jalen Edmonds strides up to the plate. He's in left field tonight for the Indians. Had quite a bit of action over there in the last inning. Well, a decent amount at least. Now the first pitch to him is going to be a fastball in there for strike one. Count will be 0-1 to start off. Edmonds. Here comes the next. That fastball is going to miss outside for ball one. And now that I'm looking, it looks like it's not. It looks like Williams is coming in to replace Mendoza behind the plate. Now Edmonds is going to drive one foul off to the right side. Giving chase is Blake Tweed over there, and he's going to slide in foul territory but miss the catch. So Edmonds will live to see another pitch. But, yeah, it is indeed Ethan Williams back there behind the plate coming in for Mendoza here in the top of the third. Edmonds now looking at an 0-2 count. Sorry, 1-2 count. Jeffries steps back up onto the rubber. He's going to shake off a sign. Now shakes off another. But he'll take this one. Now time is going to be called. Jeffries has his sign. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in the dirt. Blocked by Williams. But no swing by Edmonds. So the count... it's going to be evened up at two balls and two strikes. Jeffries now sets up. Here comes the next pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. That was a nice curveball that moved just away from Edmonds, getting him to chase at the last second. It'll be one out now in the top of the third inning. As Ivory Jones, the number 9 spot, and the right fielder for the Indians, comes up to the plate. That's strikeout number 3 for Peyton Jeffries. And now he's going to start off Jones with a high fastball for ball 1. So it'll be a ball and no strikes to Ivory Jones. Here comes the pitch now. High fastball. That one's going to nick off the glove of Williams and go back to the backstop. Count quickly moves to two balls and no strikes. Jeffries now going to shake off a sign. Now he'll deliver. Another high fastball. And Jeffries just has seemed to lose a little bit of command here just in this at-bat. Count's going to move to three balls and no strikes with an out. Now the 3-0 pitch. Now it's going to be a fastball in there for strike one. It was just below the letters of Jones's jersey. The count's going to be three balls and a strike. Here comes the pitch. Another high fastball, ball 4. So, Jeffries missing high is going to walk a batter here, and that'll bring up the top of the order. It'll be Mickey Nunez coming up to the plate. So it'll be Jones leading off the first, Nunez at the plate. Let's see if Jeffries can maybe draw another double play here. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be an outside fastball, ball 1. Jeffries can't seem to quite hit the corners like he was earlier right now. 1-0 will be the count to Mickey Nunez. Now the 1-0 pitch is going to be a low fastball, ball 2. So it'll be two balls and no strikes. Still Nunez leading off of first. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. Fastball once again low Ball three. Now it's missing low, but it's not missing by much. That one is just right below the knees. An umpire with a slightly larger zone probably would have called that a strike. 3-0 is the count. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be a fastball in there for strike one. Jeffries wasted no time on that 3-0 pitch. He just got up onto the rubber, took one step, and threw. Not as much velocity on it, but it hit the strike zone. So the 3-1 pitch now is going to be a fastball.
The views and opinions
of Ivory Jones and bounces away. That's going to be a foul ball. The count will move full now. Mickey Nunez. The count will be full to Mickey Nunez as he steps back up to the plate. This is an important pitch for Jeffries. He doesn't want to walk two in a row. He's done a good job battling back from that 3-0 count. Now the pitch, here it comes. High fastball, ball four. And Jeffries is visibly frustrated now. So, one out, runners on first and second, and DeAndre Gaines is going to come up to the plate. And I imagine he's going to see a pitch that he can hit after giving up two walks. I can almost guarantee that Jeffries is going to be pitching to contact here. Again, runners on first and second. Jeffries sets up, comes the pitch. Low fastball in the dirt. The runner at second, Jones, kind of froze, took a few steps towards third, but a nice block from Williams will hold him at second. Count becomes 1-0 to DeAndre Gaines. Gaines flew out in his first at-bat. Now the 1-0 pitch is going to be a strike. Fastball right on the outside corner. 1-1 will be the count. Again, Mickey Nunez at first. Ivory Jones over there at second. Jeffries could really benefit from a double play here. The 1-1 pitch, here it comes. In the dirt once again. Again, a phenomenal block from Williams. That was way outside and in the dirt, and Williams just slid over very smoothly, squared up on that ball, and kept it in front. It's hard to do with a pitcher like Jeffries, who's got a lot of velocity. The higher the velocity, the harder those balls in the dirt are to block. Now a high fastball is going to be swung on and missed by Gaines. Nice pitch there. Drew a big swing from DeAndre Gaines, and that'll even up the count at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Here comes the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, this time fouled back into the net as Gaines stays alive. Two balls, two strikes, one out, runners on first and second. Jeffries takes the sign and now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. Nice curveball. Drew an extremely weak swing from DeAndre Gaines, who was just kind of flailing after that pitch. And that'll be out number two. Jeffries gets his fourth strike out of the game. That'll bring up Ike Brown. Brown hit into a double play in his last at-bat. That was the phenomenal play from Jonathan Kumai with that glove flip to Arive Camacho at second. Now with two outs and runners on first and second, he'll look to get a couple runs for the Indians. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Nice pitch. And if Brown was looking for a pitch to hit, that was probably it. I'm not sure Jeffries is going to give him something that nice again. Now he's going to get a curveball. It'll be bounced off of the plate and back into the backstop for strike two. And that's exactly my point. Jeffries threw that first pitch fastball that was right down the middle. Brown could have pulled the trigger on that one, but instead waits till he gets a curveball on that second pitch and is unable to really make good contact with it. It'll be no balls and two strikes here. Here comes the pitch. Curveball. This one is going to come just a few inches from Brown. Just misses him. for ball one. Count moves to 1-2 now. As Jeffrey sets up, here's the pitch. Curveball called strike three on the outside corner. And Jeffries gets the backwards K to get out of the inning. That'll send us to the bottom of the third as the Colt 45s look to extend that 8-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. So go in, give them a visit, order inside, call 530-691-4333 to order, or you can even order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This is Carl Bott. Join us Monday as we welcome Dr. Doug Craig and we talk about mass shootings in the United States. These mass shootings are not caused just by guns. There's a lot of other problems, and we're going to address that all on Monday, right here. Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning at Tiger Field. The Fairfield Indians failed to put up any runs in the top of the inning, and the Colt 45s now come up to the plate to try to add on to their 8-run lead. Score is 8-0 here at Tiger Field as Ethan Williams, in the place of Mateo Mendoza, comes up to the plate. Williams replaced Mendoza behind the plate last inning. And now we'll look to start something off here in the bottom of the third for the Colt 45s. I believe I mentioned it was Carson Williams back out onto the mound for the Indians in this one. Williams struggled a bit after coming in to relieve Justin Bostaya last inning, but ultimately was able to get the Indians out of the inning after 6 runs were scored by the Colts. So now Robeson going to head out to the mound to just say a quick couple words to Williams before the other Williams comes up to the plate. I wasn't even thinking about that. It's going to be a Williams versus Williams matchup here.
Now that from Shasta College.
Oh, Ethan Williams, indeed. 21. Comes up to the plate now, looking to lead things off here in the bottom of the third inning for the Colt 45s. Williams on the mound comes set. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Just misses the zone for strike one. Now, this umpire tonight, this home plate umpire, he does not have a low zone. Anything below those knees is not going to get called a strike. At least it has not so far. Now there will be an inside fastball, a little too inside, and Williams jumps out to a quick 2-0 lead in the count. Now the other Williams looks down and takes his sign, comes set. Here's the pitch. High fastball. That one will catch to the zone. Right around the letters of Williams' jersey. The count moves to 2 balls and a strike. As Carson Williams on the mound comes set, now delivers. High fastball. This one's going to be up at about eye level for the hitter, so it'll be a 3-1 count. 3 balls and a strike. Here comes the pitch. Fastball inside, but home plate umpire says it catches that inside corner for strike two. And the count's going to go ahead and move full now. 3 balls, 2 strikes. Here for Ethan Williams. Here comes the full count pitch. in the dirt, ball four. Williams going to take a free base as Jonathan Kumai comes up to the plate for the second time tonight. Kumai is, well, he's only been up to the plate once tonight, and he was hit by a pitch, so he hasn't gotten much of a chance to hit. Let's see if he is able to get a pitch to hit here. Williams leading off there at first. He's got some speed for a catcher. The old pitch, here it comes. Low fastball. Again, just below the knees of Jonathan Kumai for ball one. Count becomes 1-0 here for Kumai. Now the pitch. Fastball, that one's going to be in there for strike one. Count becomes a ball and a strike now. One pitch. Here it is. Runner goes. It's going to be grounded to the right side. First baseman Judkins has it, and he's going to take it himself to the bag for out number one. However, Kumai is able to get a job done. He moves a runner over to second and brings up Arif Camacho with a runner in scoring position. Camacho is up for the third time tonight. He was walked in his first at-bat and then hit by a pitch in his second, so he's still looking for his first hit, his first opportunity to hit, really. As Williams comes set. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in there for strike one. Williams showing much better control in this inning now. Seems to have settled down a bit up there on the mound. Now he'll take his sign and set back up. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to be lifted into shallow right field. It'll fall for a base hit. Williams is going to hold up at third. And now a throw home is going to allow Camacho to take second. So the right fielder there, Ivory Jones, just completely overshot the cutoff. He was gunning for home, thinking Williams was going to be headed there. And Camacho is able to take second on that one. So that'll bring up Kyle Norton now with runners on second and third. Norton is one for one on the night. He had that RBI single earlier in the game. That brought in the first run of the game, actually. And then he walked in his second appearance. Now with runners on second and third, he's got a chance to do some more damage. He's going to take an inside fastball for strike one to start out, however. 0-1 will be the starting count for Kyle Norton. Williams on third. Camacho on second. Now it's going to be a sharp ground ball to King. It'll dribble away from him. One run will score. And now a throw home is going to allow Norton to take second. Not sure what King was thinking on that. It was a hard, hard hit ground ball. It just kind of bounced right out of the glove of King. It was a difficult play, absolutely. But dribbled a few feet away from King, and when King went to go grab it, he threw home, even though Williams had already scored by a mile. That allowed Kyle Norton to take second. So now we're going to have a new batter in there in place of Bryce Tweed. It's going to be Giacomo Crosetti, and now Williams is going to throw wide into the dirt. That one's going to get past Robeson. Runners will hold, however. Crosetti, number 33, new addition to this Colt 45's roster. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and foul tipped over to the right side. Crosetti so new, even, that I do not have him on my roster. This roster was given to me about 2 days ago. But it'll be a 1-1 count now to Crosetti with runners on second and third. Again, just one out here. Colt 45's lead 9-0. Here's the pitch. It's going to be fouled off to the left side this time. Count's going to move over to a ball and two strikes. Williams looks down and takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. Good take there from Crescetti. It'll be two balls and two strikes. Camacho not taking a huge lead off of third. Now Crescetti's going to line one down the third baseline, and it's going to nail Camacho in the ankle. That was a total line shot down the third baseline. They're going to rule it a foul ball, but I think that ball would have stayed fair had it not hit Arif Camacho. I mean, that ball was hit hard, and Camacho even tried to jump out of the way, but it just got him right on the bottom of the ankle. I'm not sure that it might have been a foul ball, but if they had ruled it fair, that would end up being called out. So lucky for the Colt 45s that it's a foul ball. Count's going to be two balls and two strikes now. Sorry, still going to be two balls and two strikes with one out. Here comes the pitch. Curveball, that one's going to be popped back into the stands. Sorry, actually into the parking lot. The count, once again, remains two balls and two strikes, and Crescetti at the plate now is fighting. 2-2 count, one out. 9-0, Colt 45's lead. They've got runners at second and third. Here's the 2-2 pitch. High fastball, swing and a miss. Crescetti goes down on strikes. Good pitch there from the pitcher Williams. It was a high fastball. Those pitches tend to look very appetizing to aggressive hitters, and indeed it did. Unfortunately, Camacho just unable to make contact with that one. That'll bring up Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman, for the third time tonight. Reginato's going to watch a fastball go by on the outside corner for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count with two outs to Reginato. He's 1-for-2 on the night. He had a two-run single in his last at-bat, and he grounded out in his first one. Now with an 0-1 count, here's the pitch. High fastball. Reginato lays off. It'll be ball one. So in a ball and a strike to Wyatt Reginato. Again, we've got two outs here in the bottom of the third inning. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted. Foul over to the left side. That one's going to go behind the dugout. The count will turn to a ball and a strike now. Sorry, a ball and two strikes with two outs for Wyatt Reginato. Again, Camacho over there at third. Behind him is Norton at second. Reginato got a chance to score a couple of runs. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. High fastball, strike three. So Williams gives up a run, but helps to strand two runners on the base paths for the Colt 45s. And that'll bring up the top of the fourth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, who have just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. They feature sandwiches, burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the fourth inning at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Fairfield Indians. The score is 9-0, Colt 45's lead. It's going to be Cameron Appling up to the plate for the second time tonight. Appling popped out in his first at-bat. They look to lead things off here for the Indians. Again, they trail 9-0. They've got to get something big started if they want to get back in this game. Comes the pitch to Appling. It's going to be swung on and lifted deep in the center field. Giacomo Crosetti going back, and he'll get under it and make the catch for out number one. Cameron Appling goes down for the second time tonight. Now Braxton King coming up to the plate. He struck out in his first at-bat. And with one out, he'll be looking to start things off here for the Indians. Comes the pitch from Jeffries. High fastball, ball one. So a quick 1-0 count to King. Now the 1-0 pitch. Fastball outside this time for ball two.
Here will be
$4
for the rest of the inning. 2-0
pitch. Here it comes. Fastball. That one's going to be inside, but it'll catch the inside corner for strike one now. Two balls and a strike to Braxton King. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. Curveball. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Nice pitch there from Jeffries. Fell right down out of the strike zone and drew a swing from King. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and driven into left field. Derek Ray is going to let it fall in front of him for a base hit. And now with one out, it'll be Will Robeson coming up to the plate for the second time. Robeson had that double earlier in the game. Now with one out and a runner on first, he'll look to do a job for the Indians, help them score a run or two, and he's going to foul one off back into the parking lot. Started off with an 0-1 count. Braxton King over there leading off of first. Pretty modest lead, especially for a guy with such long strides. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Curveball is going to be grounded lightly to Reginato at third. He'll throw to Kamai at second, over to first. Not in time at first. Norton, the first baseman, did a good job of picking Kumai's throw out of the dirt, but they'll still only get one. Nice play there from Reginato. It'll be two outs now for the Fairfield Indians as Zion Judkins, the first baseman, comes up for the second time tonight. Judkins struck out in his first at-bat. Now with a runner on first. See what he does. But first, Jeffries is going to pick off. Sorry, he's going to try to pick off Robeson at first, but they're going to call it a balk. I have no idea how that was a balk. Jeffries spun around and threw. I've seen that play a million times, and I've never seen it called a balk. So there must have been some twist of the shoulders beforehand, before he spun around and threw. Either way, it's going to be runner on second now with two outs, as Jeffries delivers a low fastball to Zion Judkins for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count to Judkins. Here comes the pitch. That one's going to be fouled back into the net. The count will become a ball and a strike. Here in the top of the fourth inning. One pitch. And now, over to second, Jeffries will throw. Robinson back in there sliding. It's been close. Towns going to remain a ball and a strike. Two outs. Jeffries now sitting up. Comes the pitch. That one's going to be swung on and lifted. Foul over to the left side. Count's going to become a ball and two strikes.
Good job, Forrest.
So Jeffrey's going to step back up onto the rubber. Judkins will step back into the box. Count will be a ball and two strikes with two outs and a runner on second. Indians have yet to score here. Swung on and grounded. Kumai's got it. He's going to drop it, though. Now the throw to first is going to be not in time. There's going to be a play at the plate now, and that throw is going to be not in time as well. Kumai bobbled that ball after fielding it up the up that first second base gap.
Number 19, Jaylen.
The throw at first, it sure looked good to me, but Judkins apparently just beat it out. And then Norton's throw home to try to catch Robeson, who was trying to steal a run, was not in time, and the Indians are on the board now. Scores 9-1 here with two outs. Now a high fastball is going to draw a check swing from Jaylen Edmonds, the left fielder, for strike one. Edmonds struck out in his last at-bat. Colt 45 is close to getting out of this one there without giving up a run. Unfortunately, they do give up their first run of the game. Now a foul ball is going to make the count 0-2 for Jaylen Edmonds. And we've got two outs here. The top of the fourth inning. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. Kumai's got it this time. He'll take it himself to second base for out number three. So the Fairfield Indians are able to steal a run, but they still trail by eight as the Colt 45s go in and grab the bats. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They feature sandwiches, burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. So go pay them a visit. Grab yourself a bite to eat. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drought. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the fourth inning at Tiger Field. Mismatchup between the Reading Colt 45s and Fairfield Indians. Colt 45s currently lead. 9-1 is the score. It's going to be Blake Tweed coming up to the plate. Tweed is 1-for-2 on the night. He had a flyout in his first at-bat and then singled in his last one. He'll look to start things off here in the bottom of the fourth for the 45s. They hope to extend that 8-run lead. It'll be Carson Williams back out onto the mound for the Fairfield Indians. And now he's going to throw a fastball in the dirt for ball one. Quick 1-0 count to start off Blake Tweed. Williams, in the bottom of the third, showed much better control than he did when he came in the bottom of the second. Now he's going to throw a fastball in there for strike one. The count's going to be evened up now at a ball and a strike for Blake Tweed. Now Williams sets up. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball. Misses the zone. Strike one. Sorry, ball two. Don't know what I was thinking there. Two balls and a strike will be the count to Blake Tweed. Williams sets up. Middle infielder is playing deep. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike two. Count will be evened up at a couple of balls, a couple of strikes. When I say deep, I mean they are playing pretty much in the grass. They're starting in the grass. They're creeping in on the delivery from their pitcher. It's now 2-2 pitcher it comes. That one's going to be drilled on the ground to Braxton King. King is going to field it easily, but overthrow first by a mile.
We're going to start the 50-50 raffle. It's a dollar a ticket.
And, Blake Tweed gets on an error. Braxton King kind of submarined that throw, real casual-like. And, man, it just went a mile above the head of the first baseman, Zion Judkins. So, now it'll be a runner on first as Derek Ray comes up to the plate. Ray is 1-for-2 on the night. He singled in his first at-bat and then popped out in his second. Now he'll look to do a job with no outs and runner on first. Williams throws over to first. In the dirt, good pick by the first baseman, Judkins, to save a base there. Ray has yet to see his first pitch. Here it comes now. Runner goes. Swung on and fouled. Tweed will be sent back to first base. The Colt 45s have had a lot of success on the base paths this season. They're a very speedy team. And they're very competent base runners. You got to wonder if that's something they work on a lot in practice. Their jumps are, really on another level, and they're always catching the pitcher by surprise. Now Williams going to throw over to first. I mean, really, what they've been doing throughout the season is taking advantage of a lot of underdeveloped pickoff moves. A lot of guys coming right out of high school, maybe in their early years of college, have yet to really develop a good pickoff move. Now Tweed again going for second, and he'll be in there. Sliding safely. Again, adding to my point, I think the entire Indians team knew he was going to steal. He already tried it once on that foul ball from Ray. Williams tried to pick him off a couple of times, couldn't, so just decided to throw, and Tweed indeed does take that base easily. They're able to just get, much larger leads than usual and much better jumps because they understand that a lot of pitchers are really just kind of focused on the plate, But anyway, it pays off for them there. They've got Blake Tweed at second now. Derek Ray facing a 1-1 count. Here's the pitch. That one's going to be lifted high into left field. It's going back. It's in a blind spot for me now. I can't see what's going on. And it's going to be caught by the left fielder, Jalen Edmonds. If you didn't know, folks, here at Tiger Field, I'm on the left side of the bleachers, and the dugout proves to be a little bit of a blind spot for me, so I can't see into a little corner of left field there, and that's exactly where that ball went. But the Indians are able to get their first out of the inning as Nate Scott now comes up to the plate. Scott is 0-for-1. He walked in his first plate appearance, but then flew out in his second. Now he's going to drill one into center field. Coming in a few steps is that center fielder, DeAndre Gaines, and he'll make the catch. And quite quickly, the Indians have two outs on the board. Scott's second fly out of the night. Now that'll bring up Ethan Williams, the catcher. Williams walked in his last at-bat. He came in for Mendoza a couple innings ago behind the plate. Now the home plate umpire going to go out and brush off the plate a little bit. It'll still be Tweed over there at second base. Williams coming set now. Comes the pitch. Runner goes. This one's going to be lifted into right field now. Ivory Jones under that one and out number three. So a little interesting there how that one went. Three consecutive fly balls, one to left, one to center, and then one to right. But it'll end the inning for the Indians as they go in and grab the bats and hope to minimize that eight-run lead that the Colt 45s have at the moment. Now remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Give them a call at 530-691-4333 to place your order. Order online or just go in and order yourself. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field. It's the Reading Colt 45s versus the Fairfield Indians. Indians coming up to the plate. It'll be Ivory Jones for the second time tonight. He's hitting in that number nine spot. Peyton Jeffries back out on the mound. He has been pretty stellar tonight. Getting up just one run through four innings so far. And if he gets through this fifth inning, he will most likely have himself a win. That is if the Colt 45s can hold on to this eight-run lead. Remember, you never want to say never in this game. There is always a possibility of a comeback. So, Ivory Jones striding up to the plate.
Now batting for the Fairfield Indians. Catcher,
he walked in his first plate appearance. Now the pitch to him. He's going to show bunt, and he tries to pull back. This one gets him on the hands. And are they going to allow him to first base? They are. They're going to give him the base. And now he's down on his knees, and he falls over onto the ground. He's in a lot of pain. He is in a lot of pain. I'm wondering if maybe that one broke a finger. Time will be called. Williams going to head out to talk to his pitcher. Now, I'm honestly a little surprised that they gave him the base on that. He did not look like he pulled back in time. He looked like he was showing bunt completely, and I thought it just hit him on the hand while he was showing bunt, in which case it would be a foul ball and a strike. That's what I thought happened. Apparently, the home plate umpire is going to rule that he did indeed pull back in time. Either way, however, you never want to see the guy in this much pain. He's still down on a knee, just kind of gripping that hand in a lot of pain. He's got quite a few people surrounding him, including the umpire and Kyle Norton, the first baseman for the Colt 45s. Looks like he's going to be okay. And now we're just kind of waiting a little bit. So he'll just try to shake it off and head on up to first. It'll be Mickey Nunez coming up to the plate for the third time tonight. Nunez is, he is yet to get the chance to hit. He was hit by a pitch in his first appearance and then walked in his second, similar to the number one spot for the Colt 45. So Reeve Camacho was also walked and hit by a pitch in his first two plate appearances. A little bit of a coincidence there. So Ivory Jones leads off of first. Here comes the pitch to Nunez. It's going to be a low fastball in the outside corner, a little too low for the strike zone. The count will become a ball and no strikes to Mickey Nunez. Jones taking a decent lead over there at first. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be almost an identical spot. However, this one's going to be a called strike. So in a ball and a strike now to Mickey Nunez. Again, the score is 9-1 here in the top of the fifth inning. Throw back over to first. They got him on the pickoff. Peyton Jeffries picked off Ivory Jones. Jones took a few steps towards second, trying to act like he was stealing. I don't know what he was doing there. It was like he was trying to draw a pickoff. And then kind of just froze, and Jeffries threw over to first and got him. Great pickoff move right there from Peyton Jeffries. Gets the first out of the inning. Here comes the pitch now to Nunez. That is going to be low, I guess. Man, that looked like a good pitch to me. Apparently it misses just a little too low. The count's going to become two balls and a strike to Nunez. Now, the 2-1 pitch from Jeffries is going to be delayed as the umpire calls time. Now the 2-1 pitch from Jeffries is coming. Low fastball again on the outside corner. Too low for the strike zone. Count moves to three balls and a strike. Nunez wants to avoid giving up a walk here. Sorry, Jeffries wants to avoid giving up a walk here. Nunez wants the walk. Well, if I was the hitter, I'd rather a base hit, to be completely honest. Now he's going to see a fastball in there for strike two. Count's going to become full. It's a little high there and inside. Nunez didn't want to go chasing after that one. Now he's going to call time, and the umpire will give it to him right in the middle of Jeffrey's delivery. That's tough for Jeffries. That can always get in your head as a pitcher. Now the 3-2 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and grounded softly over to the left side. Reginato's got it, but his throw over to first is going to be way offline and out of play. Reginato made a sliding stop to cut that ball off. It was kind of right in the middle of him and Camacho. Camacho didn't have a play there. The throw was just way offline. It wasn't going to be on time anyways. But they're ruling it an error. But I believe that's a single and then an error on the throw that allows Nunez to reach second. If I was keeping score, that would absolutely be a single in my book, and I'm going to write it down as such. DeAndre Gaines is 0 for 2 tonight. Here he comes to the plate. He's going to watch a fastball go by low for ball one. He's 0 for 2 on the night. That's a fly out and a strikeout, looking for his first hit of the ball game here in the top of the fifth with an out and a runner on second. Comes the pitch now. Swing on and missed. High fastball. Got him to chase up. Town's going to move to a ball and a strike. Now I'm looking over to the right side, and there's a Fairfield Indians player in line for, where they thought was the snack bar. It looks like it's actually the bathroom. That would have been funny, having a player go to the snack bar in the middle of the game. Whew, comedy gold. Anyways, the count's going to be a ball and a strike to DeAndre Gaines. And something happened where the umpire had called time, but Peyton Jeffries threw a pitch anyways. DeAndre Gaines wasn't even in a stance. Now, still with a 1-1 count, here comes the pitch. Little check swing there from Gaines. It's going to be a called strike anyway, however, as the count moves to a ball and two strikes. We have the runner on second base. Now, the 1-2 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on a miss, and it's going to be in the dirt, so Williams is going to have to pick it up and make the tag on DeAndre Gaines. Now Gaines is going to toss his bat. Ike Brown, who was coming up to the plate, was asking for it, and Gaines, like, threw it over his head. That was concerning, and now Gaines goes in the dugout and throws his helmet on the ground. I'm telling you right now, Ike Brown almost had to, like, duck out of the way of that baseball bat that was thrown over his head and into the net. Wow, that is extremely concerning behavior there from DeAndre Gaines. But it'll be two outs for the Colt 45s. Ike Brown now, he's 0 for 2 on the night. Now there's going to be a ball in the dirt. Williams gets to it and throws over to third. It's going to be in the dirt there, however, as Reginato has to dive to pick that ball out of the dirt. Williams had a good block there, however, it was able to squirt away from him just a couple of feet. He got to it, but was unable to make an online throw. So the count will be 1-0 to Ike Brown. And there will be a runner on third with two outs. Indians on the verge of scoring their second run of the game. Now Brown is going to foul one off back into the net. Count will become a ball and a strike. Ball and a strike, two outs. Again, score is 9-1 here in the top of the fifth inning. Setting up is Jeffries. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. One ball and two strikes with two outs here to Ike Brown. Now the pitch to Brown is going to be an outside curveball. Two balls and two strikes. Brown is probably one of the most outspoken guys on this Fairfield Indians team. You'll always see him chatting it up with his teammates and even players on the Colt 45's team. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Curveball just misses the strike zone. Count will become full. I even have had a little bit of conversation with Ike Brown before the first game of the series. He was over at the snack bar and was in disbelief of the prices. It's $9 for a double cheeseburger.
You're waiting for
it. Now there's going to be an outside, will look to be a slider, that will put Ike Brown on first with ball four. Runners at the corners now for the Fairfield Indians. With two outs, it'll be Cameron Appling coming up to the plate. Appling is 0 for 2 on the night. He popped out and flew out. Now he's got a chance to do some damage. Remember, he had that two-run home run in the first game of the series. Home run here would be huge for the Indians, but he's going to pop one straight up and out of play. It'll be back behind the stands. Count will become no balls and a strike. Appling sets up in the box. Jeffries now the delivery. Runner at first fakes a steal, but he'll head back to first. Count will be 2-1. It was a high fastball there that missed the strike zone to Appling. Comes the pitch. In the dirt. Nice stop there by Williams. Count now becoming 3-0. So Appling on the verge of a walk here. Got to imagine he wants to hit, however. With two runners on, being 0 for 2 on the night. You got to wonder if he might chase it something just a tad outside of the zone. Here comes the pitch. And he's going to ground it to Kumai at second, who will throw on over to first for out number three. So Appling goes down for the third time tonight, and Jeffries gets out of a little bit of a jam without giving up a run. So that'll bring us to the bottom of the fifth inning as the Colt 45s head back into the dugout. Folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market features sandwiches, burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Now, Matt, I hear we're kind of in a mortgage boom right now. Can you tell us more about the benefits of possible refinancing your home right now?
So the thing right now that is different with refinancing ever in history, rates are at an all-time low, values are at an all-time high. So right now, people are able to lower their interest rate and get rid of mortgage insurance.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the fifth inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. The Indians just last inning had their first shutout inning of the game so far. They allowed two in the first, six in the second, one in the third, and finally put up a zero there in the bottom of the fourth. Now heading into the bottom of the fifth, we are going to welcome up Jonathan Kumai. Now the umpire is yelling at the sound booth to turn off the music. He had to yell up there a couple times before they heard him. We were all just vibing out to Sweet Caroline for a little bit. Now the pitch to Kumai is going to be a low fastball for ball one.
Number four, Jonathan Kumai.
It was, it's Carson Williams back out on the mound, if I failed to mention that. Now he's going to throw another high fastball to Kumai. That'll be ball two. Kumai tonight is 0 for 1. He had a ground out in his last at-bat. He also was hit by a pitch earlier in the game. Now he's going to watch another fastball go by low for ball three. Count's going to move to three balls and no strikes. Not the way Cameron Williams wants to start this. Sorry, Carson Williams. Not the way Carson Williams wants to start this inning off. Leo Page, here it comes. Strike one on the outside corner there. Three balls and one strike to Jonathan Kumai. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball, ball four. So Kumai gets on with free base. So far, the Indians have walked five batters in the night. They've also hit about four others. It's about nine free bases given up through four innings. That'll bring up Arive Camacho for the fourth time tonight. He is 1 for 1 with a single. He's also walked and hit by a pitcher earlier in the game. Now he's going to throw, see a fastball in the outside corner for strike one. The count will be no balls and a strike to Camacho. We've got Kumai leading at first. Now there's going to be a pickoff attempt at first. Nice pick by the first baseman, Zion Judkins, right out of the dirt to save a bag. That's not the first time he's done it tonight. Again, 0-1 is the count to Camacho. Williams sets up. Comes the pitch. That one's going to be driven into left field for a base hit. Kumai will hold up at second. And just like that, the Colt 45s have two runners on. And Kyle Norton coming up to the plate with no outs. Norton is 1 for 2 on the night. He had an RBI single in the first inning. And then walked in his second plate appearance and reached on an error in his third. So he has yet to miss the base paths tonight. He's been on the bases in all three of his plate appearances. Now he's going to watch fastball go by outside for ball one. Camacho leading off of first, Kamai off the second. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Another outside off speed there for ball two. Norton will step out, then step back into the box. 2-0 is the count. Coming set is Williams. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. So Williams gets his first strike of the at-bat. Count's going to move over to two balls and a strike. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. High fastball, swung on and fouled back behind the stands for strike two. Count will be evened up now at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Again, the score here at Tiger Field is going to be 9-1, Colt 45's lead. Kyle Norton has a chance to extend that lead here with no outs. Now Williams will come set. Here's the pitch. Low fastball for ball three. And the count will be filled up now. Norton looking to get either a walk or a knock here. Base hit could probably score a run. This one's going to be hit straight up. The catcher is not going to get under it, and neither is anyone else. There's a little bit of a miscommunication there. Looks like we've got a new catcher in. I didn't even notice until he took the mask off. It's no longer Will Robeson. Instead, it looks like it's Cole Santos, if I'm correct on that. Actually, I may be incorrect on that. I can't see his number. It's hidden by the gear. Guess we'll find out when he comes up to the plate. But there's a little bit of miscommunication between the third baseman, Ike Brown, and him, where kind of just fell right in between both of them. Now with full count, here's the pitch to Norton. That's a little jam shot and caught by Ike Brown over there on the third baseline. He'll throw over to second to try to get a back pick, but Kamai is back in there safely. That was a nice play from Ike Brown. It was just a little jam shot from Norton.
Number 33.
Right over his head, and he kind of just ran back a few steps and stuck his glove out to make the catch before that ball fell in left field. Giacomo Crosetti now coming up for the second time tonight. Crosetti struck out in his first at-bat. Now with runners on first and second, he's got an opportunity to score a run. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Ball one. The count will be a ball, no strikes to Giacomo Crosetti. Again, it's still Camacho and Kumai on the base paths right now. Here's the 1-0 pitch. High fastball, called a strike by the home plate umpire. Again, we've been seeing it all night. He's got a pretty high zone. Nothing below the knees has been called a strike yet tonight, but they're having a few pitches right at the letters. That could be pretty borderline that have been called strikes. Now the 1-1 pitch, here it is. Swing and a miss. Strike two. That was almost an identical spot to the last pitch. Crosetti figured he'd probably better give it a swing if it was going to be a called strike anyways. Fortunately, kind of undercuts that one, unable to make contact. So the count's going to move over to a ball and two strikes. Now with one out, Williams sets back up. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball once again. The count's going to even up at two balls and two strikes. Crosetti, he does a good job of working the count of these pitchers. He worked the last one, too, until he got into a 2-2 count as well. Also fouled off a couple of pitches. Now the pitch. Low fastball once again. Barely misses the strike zone. A little low, and the count's going to move full. Now, you can't say that home plate umpire hasn't been consistent with that zone. He certainly has. He's given up nothing below the knees. Now, three balls and two strikes. One out, two on. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Crosetti once again working this count well. Six pitch at bat. He's about to see the seventh. Williams steps off and now steps back up onto the rubber. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to be lifted into right field. Right fielder giving chase. He'll make the catch. That's Ivory Jones. Kumai over at second will tag and head to third. Camacho stays at first. Crescetti does a job. He gets himself a sack fly as Kumai heads on over to third. That'll bring up Wyatt Reginato for the fourth time tonight. Sorry. Yeah, fourth time tonight. Thought I was going a little crazy there for a second. It'll be two outs now for the Colt 45s. Williams, close to getting himself out of an early jam. Wonder if Crescetti's going to... Sorry, if Camacho is going to consider stealing second. Like I said earlier, Camacho, well, is one of the guys with elite speed on this Colt 45s team. He might be one of the fastest on the team in general. He's not going to try to take second on this pitch, however, as Williams throws an inside fastball to Wyatt Reginato for ball one. I believe Camacho leads the team in steals at the moment. He is a nightmare on the base paths, and now he's going to go. There's going to be a drive into center field. That one is going to be caught on the run by the center fielder, DeAndre Gaines. Almost a big play there off of the line drive from Wyatt Reginato. But Carson Williams is able to get out of it and send his team back to the dugout to grab the bats. So we'll head into the top of the sixth inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They're tonight's sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. And they've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go ahead, pay them a visit, grab yourself a bite to eat. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the sixth inning here at Tiger Field, Reading Colt 45s versus the Fairfield Indians. It's currently about 9:08 p.m. as we're approaching that two-hour mark on the game. It's been a little bit of a long one here. Colt 45s scored 9 runs in the first 3 innings of the game. They haven't scored any, however, in their past 2 half innings at the plate. Now we're going to see Braxton King come up to the plate for the third time tonight. He is 1-for-2 with a single so far tonight. And we've got a new pitcher out there on the mound as well. It looks like it's going to be number 6, Jackson Torsey. Torsey coming out of CSU Monterey Bay. Tall, 6'3", 195 pounds. And now he'll face off against his first opponent of the night, Braxton King, who also happens to be the bigger batter here tonight at Tiger Field. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Nice pitch there from Torsey. Torsey's one of those guys who's got real good velocity. They've got a lot of those guys on this Colt 45s team. Jeffries was also an example of this. Now it's going to be a high fastball, kind of right at the letters of King for strike two. Quickly, King's in an 0-2 count. Here comes the pitch. Curveball just fouled off by King over to the right side as he stays alive. Count stays. No balls and two strikes. Torsi sets up. Here comes the pitch. Low fastball just below the knees, and like we've been saying, any pitch below the knees tonight has not been called a strike. So the count will move on to a ball and two strikes. Torsi setting up once again. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt this time. Bounces up and hits off the top of Williams' helmet. It'll be a 2-2 count now for Braxton King. The 2-2 pitch, high fastball, just a little too high that time. And after jumping out to an 0-2 lead, Torsi now falls to a 3-2 deficit here. Full count pitch, here it comes. High fastball, ball four. So Braxton King showing some good discipline there. After coming back down 0-2 and eventually drawing a walk. And that'll bring up Will Robeson for the fourth time tonight. Sorry, third time tonight. Robeson is 1-for-2 on the night. He doubled in his first at-bat and then reached on a fielder's choice in his second. It'll be Braxton King over there leading off at first. Here comes the pitch. Strike one. Fastball in the outside corner. Nice pitch there from Torsi. Double play would be a nice thing here for the Colt 45s. I think that's what Torsi's pitching for. Comes the 0-1. Swing on and fouled high and back into the parking lot. The count is no balls and two strikes. King, like I noted earlier in the game, takes a pretty small lead for having such a long stride. And now Robeson is going to watch one go by. It's going to be in the dirt, and it gets under the legs of Williams as King heads on over to second. So, unfortunately, that force out at second is going to be taken off as King gets a free base. And now it'll be a 1-2 count with a runner on second base. Torsi coming set. They're not holding them on at second much. Here comes the pitch. Strike three called. Curveball in the outside corner. Robeson goes down. Now, a little bit interesting to note, Robeson was not the one catching last inning. So he must have moved to a different position, although we have not seen his replacement come up to the plate. Now there's going to be a ball lifted into left field, and it'll get down for a base hit, and it's going to be a little more than a base hit, as Zion Judkins has himself an RBI double. Braxton King coming around to score. Unfortunately, Torsi gives up a run there on the RBI double from Zion Judkins. That'll bring up Jalen Edmonds now. Here's the pitch to Edmonds. It's going to be a high fastball. 1-0 will be the count. Judkins trying to play some mind games with Torsi over there at second. He's taking a huge secondary lead. Now a line shot on the ground is going to be a base hit into right field. Blake Tweed is going to gun for home. And it should have been cut off by the first baseman, Norton, but he did not cut it off. And lets it go, and it was not even close to being online, and it goes all the way to the backstop. Another run will score for the Indians, and Jalen Edmonds will head over to second base. So now, kind of a rough situation for Jackson Torsi. He's given up two runs in his first inning here up on the mound. It'll be Ivory Jones up to the plate now with one out. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, called strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count to Jalen Edmonds. Now setting up his Torsi. Runner goes. Throw down to third. It's going to be not in time. It's going to actually be in the dirt. Bounce off the chest of Reginato. The count will be a ball and a strike. And there will now be a runner on third with one out for the Indians. Torsi comes set. Here's the pitch. High fastball, strike two. So a ball and two strikes now to Jalen Edmonds. Sorry, Ivory Jones. Edmonds is the one over there at third base right now. Now curveball is called strike three. And Torsi gets his second out of the inning. Edmonds did not think so. He jumped up in disbelief over that call, but refrains from exchanging words with the umpire as he heads back to the dugout. Nice pitch there from Torsi. Just caught the top of the zone for strike three. It'll be Mickey Nunez now for the fourth time tonight as the top of the order comes up. Nunez is one for one. Now a fastball goes high, but is called strike one. That Indian dugout is a little fired up. They didn't think that one was a strike. They're getting a little upset now at this home plate umpire's high strike zone. It's been pretty high all night, but this inning, it does seem to have maybe raised up just a little bit. 1-1 pitch, here it comes. That one's going to go way high this time for ball two. The count will be two balls and a strike to Mickey Nunez. Still, we've got Jalen Edmonds leading off of third over there. Now another high fastball is going to prove to be ball three to Mickey Nunez. Now then Williams is going to call time and head out to the mound. And three balls and one strike is the count. Two outs here in the top of the sixth inning. And it's been the biggest inning so far for the Indians. They've scored two. The score currently is 9-3. Now Mickey Nunez trying to get another run across. Here's the 3-1 pitch. High and outside, ball four. Nunez gets on to first for free. That's his second walk of the game, his third free base. He has been walked twice. He's hit by a pitch in his first appearance. So, he's just been getting a lot of free bases so far tonight. That'll bring up DeAndre Gaines, as now manager Barrett Fasking is going to call time and come out to talk to Jackson Torsi. No activity in the Colt 45's bullpen right now. They're relying on Torsi to get out of this one. And rightfully so, in my opinion. I mean, Torsi has proven himself throughout the season to be a very competent pitcher up on the mound. He's got great velocity. He struggled just a bit in this inning, but Barrett Fasking obviously believes that he'll be able to get out of it now with two outs and runners at the corners. So Williams will head back behind the plate, and DeAndre Gaines will step in the box, get ready for his third at-bat of the game. Gaines is 0-for-3 tonight, struck out twice, and it's flown out as well. Now Torsi comes set. Here's the pitch. Runner at first goes. No throw down. He actually fakes to throw and goes to third. It will be not in time, however, as on third, Jalen Edmonds is back in sliding safely. Mickey Nunez will have a stolen base. Torsey does have a pretty slow delivery to home. Nunez was able to get a really nice jump. Here comes the pitch now. It's going to be a ground ball over to the right side. Kumai bobbles it, throws to first, not in time. Oh, boy. That's Kumai's second error of the game. He just seems to be having a rough time handling the ball over there at second base tonight. Typically a really elite fielder over there at second base. I mean, we know that because of what he's done over there so far throughout the season, even tonight, having that phenomenal glove flip. Unfortunately, they're just unable to hold on to that ball, and it allows a run to score. The score now becomes 9-4. Runners will again be at the corners. Now the scoreboard is having a little bit of trouble, so they're going to reset it. It'll be Ike Brown. Runner at first goes again. There will be no throw from Ethan Williams. Again, not much of a shot as Torsey has given those base runners plenty of time to get a good jump. 0-1 is the count to Ike Brown. Here comes the pitch. Outside, looked to be a slider. He'll miss the zone for ball one. Count will be evened up at a ball and a strike. Runners on first and second. Sorry, second and third, two outs. Here's the pitch. It's going to be bounced over to the left side. Reginato comes in. He'll make a throw to first. It will not be in time. Ike Brown is in there with an infield single. And another run scores for the Fairfield Indians. And suddenly, this has become a bit of a ball game here in the top of the sixth inning. Score becomes 9-5. The Indians have scored four in this inning off of Jackson Torsey. And, well, it's not all Torsey's fault. He's getting the kind of results you want from a pitcher, a lot of ground balls, but a little bit of trouble handling them from the defense, and then sometimes just unlucky. Now the runner at first will go, and now the pitch is going to go off the glove of Williams, and it'll bounce off the backstop over to the left side. Williams misses it, coming back, and a run will score. That was an interesting play. The runner went. Williams kind of took his eye off the ball, I think, focusing on that throw down to second, and he just allowed that ball to nick off the top of his glove, went back, hit the backstop, and then bounced to the left, and he tried to jump over to the left to grab it. That runner at third was hesitating all this time. Then he missed it coming back from the backstop, and that's when the runner at third went, and he was unable to make a tag. Now there's going to be a base hit into right field by Cameron Appling, and the throw into the plate is going to be a little offline. Another run will score as Cameron Appling has himself an RBI single. So a couple of singles even minimizes the lead of the Colt 45s. Now a fastball to Braxton King is going to be low for ball one. King was the first batter of the inning. He was walked. So obviously not quite the inning that the Colt 45s have wanted. Getting up a lot of runs. Now the pitch to King is going to be across the outside corner for strike one. They just need one more out. They've got two. But I can't say it's not true that the Colt 45s this year seem to really struggle with two outs. They, we've seen plenty of instances where 45's pitching has gotten those two outs early and then given up several runs with two outs. They just seem to struggle sometimes getting that last out. Now, a curveball is going to ring up Braxton King, and he is going to point to a spot in the box. It looked like he was about to draw a line. I think he kind of refrained from doing so. Torsey finally gets out of it after giving up five runs. The score is 9-6 as we head in to the bottom of the sixth inning where they try to get those runs back. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors, the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the sixth inning at Tiger Field. The score is 9-6, Colt 45's lead. The Fairfield Indians. It'll be Blake Tweed up to bat. The Indians had a big inning last inning. They scored five runs to minimize the eight-run lead held by the 45s. So Tweed was one for three tonight. Will step up to the plate. It'll still be Carson Williams on the mound here in the bottom of the sixth. And the first pitch is going to be a high fastball for ball one. The count will be one ball and no strikes to Blake Tweed. Williams once again comes set. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. Quick 2-0 count now to Blake Tweed. Tweed once again will step into the box. Coming set is Williams. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled. Back into the net this time. Count will be two balls and a strike. Well, now the scoreboard is showing that the Indians actually scored six runs last inning. I might have been a little bit wrong. But they also show the Colt 45s with 10 runs total. If I'm correct, the actual score should be 9-6, but either way, Tweed is going to fire a shot at the third baseman, Brown. Takes it to bounce and kind of nicks off of Brown's glove. That was a hard hit ball, tough to handle, and it looks like they're going to rule that a single for Blake Tweed. So that'll bring up Derek Ray. Ray is 1-for-3 on the night. Now, with the runner on first, we'll try to do a job here for the Colt 45s. Here comes the pitch from Williams. Low fastball, check swing from Ray. They say he went around, so it'll be no balls and a strike to Derek Ray. I believe 9-6 is the score. Scoreboard is showing 10-7, however. I don't believe that's accurate. Now an outside fastball will miss the zone for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Derek Ray. 1-1 is the count. Williams takes his sign. Now comes set. He's going to throw over to first. Blake Tweed back in there sliding safely. Count remains a ball and a strike to Derek Ray. Williams comes set. Now he'll throw back over to first. Don't know what he's thinking there. he's not really close to catching Tweed. Bray steps back in. Runner goes. That one is drilled hard and foul over to the left side. That was a hard, hard, hard line drive. Frey keeps that one fair. It's at least a double. The count becomes a ball and two strikes now. Williams looks down and takes his sign. Now he comes set. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Ball two. Count's going to move over to two balls and two strikes. So Williams kicks some dirt around near the rubber. Now steps back up onto the rubber. Looks down to take his sign. Tweed's still leading off a first. He tried to steal on that last pitch. Here comes the pitch. It's a curveball. A swing and a miss from Ray. Gets the first out of the inning for the Indians. And that'll bring up Nate Scott, the DH. Scott is 0-for-2 on the night. He walked in his first plate appearance, but has flown out twice since then. Now with the runner on first, he's got one out. See what he does. Looks like they were about to do a pitch out. The catcher, who, well, we thought was Robeson, but I don't believe it is Robeson. He stood up and took a step to the right. Now the runner's going to go. It's going to be popped straight up into the air. Tweed is going to head back to first, and the second baseman will make the catch for out number two. Not at all what the Colt 45s wanted there, as Nate Scott pops out with Tweed trying to steal. But that'll bring up Ethan Williams for the third time tonight. Williams is 0-for-1 tonight. He flew out in his last at-bat. He also has a walk on the night, however. Tweed still leading off of first. Williams comes set. He's got two outs. Now he'll throw back over to first. And it's going to dribble away from the first baseman, Judkins. But Judkins will quickly get to it. Tweed will be held up at first. Williams gets the ball back and heads back up to the rubber. I think really the focus from Williams should be less on trying to pick Tweed off and more just giving a quick delivery to the plate, and he does exactly that there. Kind of just a quick step delivery. Gets a fastball for a strike on Williams. Tweed does not go. 0-1 is the count now. Here's the pitch. Tweed is going. Throw down is going to be not in time. Tweed in there with a stolen base. See, the difference there was Williams gave that high leg kick, and that's really an indication to Tweed that he's got to go. When Williams was doing that quick step delivery, Tweed held up. But the minute he gave that leg kick, that was Tweed's sign. Now the pitch to Williams is going to be on the ground to the second baseman, Nunez, who throws it over to first for out number three. Colt 45s fail to extend the three-run lead. We'll head to the top of the seventh where the Indians look to put up a few more runs. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. Order online, give them a call at 530-691-4333, or go in and order yourself. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
All righty, folks. Well, welcome back to the top of the seventh inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. The Indians were able to score five runs off of Jackson Torsey in the last inning, and now it's going to be a new pitcher on the mound for the Colt 45s. It's going to be number nine, Dustin Niles, out there on the mound as he warms up. It's going to be Will Robeson on... coming up to the plate, I believe. Actually, I may be wrong on that. I must be wrong on that, because, there's no reason. No. Yes, it is going to be Will Robeson. I'm not mistaken. Braxton King was the last out of the inning. Last inning, he struck out, so Robeson will be coming up to the plate. Again, I think it's a little interesting. It has not been Will Robeson behind the plate the last few innings. He is supposedly the catcher for the Indians, but I have no idea. They might have just switched him to a different position and brought in someone new to catch, but I don't know who it was behind the plate there. And with that, Niles will finish warming up, and Robeson will come up to the plate. Niles, coming out of Folsom Lake College, standing a towering 6 feet 4 inches tall. And now Robeson will step in as Niles takes the rubber. Here comes the first pitch from Dustin Niles. Fastball in there for strike one. That was a beautiful delivery from Niles there. His arm moved slowly throughout his motion. Great velocity on that fastball, however. And now, pitch that looked exactly the same draws a swing from Robeson and a miss for strike two. Niles already looking really comfortable up there on the mound. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. Curveball. Strike three called, and Robeson knows it. Everyone knew it. Before that strike was even called, Williams had popped up and had begun to throw the ball around the horn. So that's Robeson's second strikeout of the night. Second consecutive strikeout as well. And now Zion Judkins will come up to the plate for the first time against Niles. Here comes the pitch. Swung on. This one's going to be lifted out into right field. Blake Tweed gets under it, makes the catch. Tweed didn't have to move more than about three or four steps to that ball. And that'll be out number two quickly. Niles working real quick up on the mound. And, well, that's exactly what the Colt 45s wanted. It'll be Jalen Edmonds now up at the plate. He had an RBI single in his last at-bat. Let's see what he does against Niles. Here's the pitch. Curveball, little low for ball one. That's nice. Curveball had some good movement, however, cannot quite catch the zone there. Now the 1-0 pitch. Fastball, across the plate, strike one. Niles looking to preserve the lead here for the Colt 45s. Turns out the score is actually 9-7. So it looks like they finally got it figured out on the scoreboard, and I was incorrect on my assumption that it was 9-6. The Indians actually only trail by two runs. So now, 1-2 pitch from Niles. Strike three called. Niles takes down the side, gets a couple of strikeouts along the way, and works quickly to get the Colts back into the dugout and grabbing the bats. So we'll head in now into the bottom of the seventh inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go pay them a visit, grab a bite to eat. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Our summer tribute lineup will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center.
From rock and roll classics to country to today's pop charts.
Tickets are just $15 each, plus fees.
Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app.
Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the seventh inning here at Tiger Field. This matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. Colt 45s currently lead 9-7 here in the bottom of the seventh inning. It's going to be Jonathan Kumai up to the plate for the fourth time tonight. He'll be facing off against a new pitcher, number 36, Junior Ortega, coming into the game to relieve Carson Williams. Ortega, we saw in the first game of the series, he kind of struggled a little bit versus Colt 45, gave up a decent amount of runs. Now, Kumai will stride up to the plate. And now there's going to be a little bit of a meeting on the mound before we get this inning started. Probably a little longer than it should take. Now they're still talking. So it's much longer than most of the pre-inning mound meetings. Finally, the catcher will wrap it up and come back behind the plate. Kumai looking for his first hit of the night. He's 0-for-1. He's also hit by a pitch and walked. Ortega now coming set. Here's the pitch. Low and inside fastball. Ball one. Ortega, we noticed in the last game he pitched, he typically has kind of a three-quarters delivery, but occasionally just goes full submarine. And this time he goes full submarine and kind of spikes it into the dirt. I have noticed he seems to be much less accurate when he goes in that submarine motion. I'm not sure if it's an attempt to just fool the hitter, create a little bit of an optical illusion. And now he's going to throw behind Kumai, and it's actually going to scrape Kumai on the glutes, and he'll head on to first with free base. So this is kind of exactly the thing we saw from Ortega in the last game. He threw two balls and then, well, hit Kumai on the backside, and now Arif Camacho will be coming up for the fifth time. Camacho's 2 for 2 on the night. A couple of singles. I'll look for another one here. Ortega coming set. Here's the pitch. High fastball. A little too high. Ball one. Ortega has yet to throw a strike. Now he'll come set once again. Here's the pitch. This one's going to be popped straight up into the air. Second baseman Nunez moving over, and he'll get under it, make the catch. And Arif Camacho is put away. You can tell he wanted to hit. That ball wasn't a great one to swing at. And now Camacho, obviously not too shaken up by that pop out, he comes over, hands his bat to the bat boy, and then races him back to the dugout. It'll be Kyle Norton up to the plate now. Norton is 1 for 4 on the night. Sorry, 1 for 3. He's going to show bunt now, but pull back at the last second as the ball goes outside for ball one. Again, it's Jonathan Kumai over there leading off at first. Giacomo Crisetti on deck. Here comes the pitch. No, it's going to be a throw over to first. Kumai is back in standing up. The count is a ball and no strikes to Kyle Norton. Here comes the pitch from Ortega. It's going to be in there for strike one. Count will be evened up at a ball and a strike now. Now Ortega sets up once again. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, blocked by the catcher. I believe that's actually Ivory Jones back there behind the plate, if I'm not mistaken. Now that I'm looking, it looks like number 18, which is indeed Mr. Jones. Anyway, it's going to be a 2-1 count. That means Robeson either took that DH spot. No, he must be somewhere out there in the outfield. Now Ortega going to throw another fastball in there for strike two. It'll be 2 balls and 2 strikes to Kyle Norton. One out here in the bottom of the seventh inning. 2-2 pitch. On the outside, nicks off of the glove of Jones and skirts away from him. So that'll make the count full. And that'll give Kumai the opportunity to take second base easily. Now Norton steps back into the box. Take up there on the mound. Comes the 3-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. The count will remain full. It was a good pitch by Ortega. Good job by Norton to foul it off. Keep on fighting. Count stays full here with one out. Take a set up. Runner goes. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Throw down is going to be not in time. So Ortega gets his second out of the inning on the strikeout from Norton. And that'll bring up Giacomo Crisetti for the third time. Said he's 0 for 1 on the night. He struck out, had a sac fly in his last at-bat. Now with a runner on third, he'll be looking to extend the Colt 45's two-run lead. Ortega sets up. Comes the pitch. in the dirt. Check swing by Crescetti. I think they said he went around. So that'll be no balls and a strike. No, they say he did not. No. The third base umpire just extended his arm out like he was calling for no swing. But there's a strike up there on the scoreboard, so I think that home plate umpire might have called him on the swing. It'll be no balls and a strike to Crescetti. Here's the pitch. High fastball hits Crescetti in the back. He'll get a free bag. So the second hit batter of the inning by Ortega, and that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato. Reginato is 1-for-4 on the night. With two outs and runners at the corners, he'll look to do a job here. Crescetti taking a good lead off of first. Kumai, pretty modest one off of third. But now it looks like they're not going to, well, they're hardly going to hold Kumai on at all. Now the pitch to Reginato is going to be in the dirt. Nice block there by Jones. Holds the runners on. The count will be a ball and no strikes. Ortega sits back up under the rubber. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. So two balls and no strikes to Reginato now. Ortega close to getting out of this one. He just needs one more out. Reginato back in the box. Ortega looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here's the pitch. Fastball. That one's going to get across the plate for strike one. Count will move to two balls and a strike now for Wyatt Reginato. Two balls, one strike, two outs. Runners at the corners. Here's the pitch. Outside and low. Ball three. Count's going to move over to three balls and a strike. And now Ortega's on the verge of loading up the bases. He looks down for a sign. Gets it. Now he'll set up. Comes the pitch. That one gets across the plate for strike two. Three balls and two strikes. So full count with two outs. Pressure's on a little bit for Ortega here. He struggled a bit with control. See if he can really find his command here. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, ball four. Nice block there from Robinson. Sorry, Jones. And that'll bring up Blake Tweed. Blake Tweed, with the bases loaded, now has the opportunity to really extend this two-run lead, and now there's going to be a mound meeting. It's been a long game so far. We are starting to get close to that three-hour mark, just now in the bottom of the seventh inning. And it's going to be kind of a long meeting. Just the catcher, pitcher, and manager out there talking about what they want to do and what's going on in the head of Ortega, I suppose. Now the umpire's going to come out and tell them to wrap it up. They'll all head back to their positions now. Blake Tweed strides up to the plate. Tweed on the night is 2-for-4. Got a couple of singles, fly out, and he reached on an error as well. So now he'll step into the box with the bases loaded. Two outs. Pressure's on for both sides now. Here's the pitch from Ortega. Outside fastball. Ball one. The last thing Ortega wants to do here is walk in a runner. Let's see if he can gain a little bit of command over that fastball. Tweed really crowding the plate here. Here comes the pitch from Ortega. Low, but fouled off to the left side. Tweed really wanted that one. Not able to do much with it, however. As the count becomes a ball and a strike, two outs. Now the umpire, the third base umpire, is going to take a look at the ball, and he's going to throw it over into the dugout. Saw something he didn't like, I suppose. Now manager Barrett Fasking is going to take a look at it, see what's going on. Well, Ortega will get a new ball here. And the count will be a ball and a strike to Blake Tweed. Again, bases are loaded. Two outs. 9-7, Colt 45's lead, and are looking to extend it here. Ortega sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded to the third baseman, Brown. He'll throw to second, and they get him at second for the third out. So Ortega gets out of it after loading up the bases. Colt 45's once again failed to score any runs. We'll head into the top of the eighth where the Indians see if they can minimize this two-run lead and maybe take a lead for themselves. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They are a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball, and they've just moved to their new location, 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. So go pay them a visit. Get a bite to eat. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field in this two-run matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. It is going to be indeed Ivory Jones up to the plate for the Fairfield Indians, facing off against Dustin Niles for the first time tonight. Niles came in and threw a perfect inning last inning. It was really nice. Let's see if he can do something similar here. Niles sets up. Here's the pitch. Low fastball barely misses the bottom of the zone. That was just underneath the knees of Ivory Jones. And like I've said a couple of times already, that home plate umpire not giving us anything above the knees tonight or below the knees tonight. Now this one is going to be on the ground to Kumai. Kumai gathers, throws to first, and gets out number one. Niles, two pitches. Gets the first out of the inning. His pitch count through an inning and a third is extremely low. I don't have an exact number, to be completely honest. I haven't been keeping track, but I know it's low. So that'll bring up Mickey Nunez for the fifth time tonight. Nunez has been hit by a pitch, walked twice, and also has a single. So he's been on base all four times. Now he's going to bunt one down the third baseline. Reginato coming in, and he will not be able to gather it. Nunez will get on to first base. I don't know if they're going to rule that an error or a base hit. Let's see what it's going to be. Looks like they're going to rule it a single. I think Nunez had it all the way. It will indeed be ruled a single up there on the scoreboard. So Mickey Nunez has himself a bunting single. That was a beautiful bunt right down the third baseline. Reginato did a good job of coming in, but couldn't handle it. Now the pitch with a runner on first to DeAndre Gaines is going to be a high fastball. Called for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count now to DeAndre Gaines. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, little outside. It'll be a ball and a strike. Now Niles sets up once again. Here comes the pitch. No, he's going to throw over to first. Barely back in time at first is Mickey Nunez. He almost just got picked off there. Niles really faked out Nunez there. He stepped up. I thought he was coming home. Wasn't a buck, just a beautiful pickoff move. Almost had Nunez fooled. And now manager Barrick Fasking is going to come over and have a chat with the umpire. I think he might have disagreed with that call. I don't know what coming out and arguing is going to do about it. It was definitely close. I think too close to really argue well. And now I'm wondering if maybe Fasking was asking for an appeal to another umpire, or perhaps whether he was asking if Nunez interfered with the throw over. I'm not really sure. But either way, it'll be DeAndre Gaines still at the plate, and Mickey Nunez still on at first. Niles on the mound. I imagine if Niles' pitch count remains low in this inning, he'll come out for the save in the ninth. Now with one out, 1-1 is the count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled out into the parking lot. Let's see if it hits a car. I can't see. I think it missed it. So it'll be a 1-2 count now to DeAndre Gaines. Gaines is 0-for-4 on the night so far. He's looking for his first hit. Here's the pitch. High fastball, just a bit above the zone. A few people in the stands yelling out to the umpire saying that it was a strike. Count's going to move over to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Really, I think it was just a nice frame job from Williams. Made it really look like a strike, but that was a little high indeed. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled right back into Williams, and now he's down on the ground. I don't know where that hit him, but he's going to stand right back up. He's in pain, obviously. Now he punches his glove and kind of takes a little bit of a walk. Man, as a catcher, you have to be tough, and Williams is showing some extreme toughness right now. I don't know where that pitch hit him, but there is nowhere, even with the gear on, that is not going to feel pain if a foul ball is tipped straight back into you, especially coming from a pitch from Dustin Niles with the velocity that he has. I mean, that ball was probably in the low 90s somewhere. But Williams is okay. Again, showing some real toughness there. The count's going to remain 2 balls and 2 strikes. As DeAndre Gaines steps back into the box, Niles sets up the pitch. Swung on and drilled into center field. It'll fall for a base hit. And DeAndre Gaines is on with his first hit of the night. Mickey Nunez will hold up at first. And Ike Brown will come up. Brown is 1-for-3 on the night. Got an infield single in his last at-bat. Now with runners on first and second and just one out, he's got a chance to do some damage. He represents the go-ahead run. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Swung straight through that fastball for strike one. 0-1 is the count now to Ike Brown. Niles will set back up. The 0-1 pitch, here it comes. Runner at second goes. It's going to be in the dirt, blocked by Williams. And Williams gets to it quickly, but unfortunately, runners will now be on second and third. Now, the tying run is on second base. The count will be a ball and a strike to Ike Brown. Niles really feeling the pressure here. He needs this out, and he's got no force out now. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, almost gets away from Williams. The entire infield playing in on the grass now. At all costs, they want to get that runner at home. They do not want to give up a run here. The count's going to be two balls and a strike. Niles really feeling the pressure. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Low, ball three. And now, with a runner on third, I think Niles is having a little trouble with his control. Understandably, nerves got to be racing. 3-1 is the count. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball four. Ike Brown is on, and the go-ahead run is on with him. Now, Williams will call time and head out to talk to Dustin Niles. Cameron Appling will come up to the plate. Appling is 1-for-4 on the night with a single in his last at-bat. Now, Reginato going to join them over on the mound, but Williams is going to quickly head back behind the plate. Got one out, so the middle infielders will move back off of the grass and into double play depth. The corner infielders are still in. Here comes the pitch to Appling. It's going to be a low curveball. Misses the zone for ball one. Niles really has to hone in here if he wants to get out of this inning. Come back out for the ninth. Try for a save. Setting up. 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. Curveball again, this time in the dirt and outside for ball two. Two balls and no strikes to Cameron Appling. Miles looks down, takes his sign. Now he'll set up, not paying much attention to the runners on right now. They're not being held on at all. Here's the pitch. Fastball, swing on, a miss. Strike one. Two balls and one strike now to Cameron Appling. 9-7 is the score here. Bases are loaded. One out. 2-1 pitch. Swung on and grounded over to the right side. It's going to be Kumai. He'll take it and go straight to first. Now a play at the plate. It's going to be the throw is not in time. And the Indians tie it up. The tag from Williams just barely missed. Number 9, DeAndre Gaines coming home. And on a ground out, the Indians score two runs. The score is now tied 9-9. Cameron Appling out at first. Ike Brown moves on over to second. Two outs now. Ike Brown taking third, and he'll get there with no throw. So now the Indians are close to taking the lead here with two outs. Unfortunately, Peyton Jeffries loses his possibility of a win. Now Braxton King will take his second consecutive outside fastball for ball two. Niles sets up. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball once again. However, it'll catch the outside of the zone for strike one. The count will be two balls and a strike. Braxton King facing a 2-1 count. King is 1-for-3 on the night. Niles sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. That'll even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Niles now setting up once again. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Here's the pitch. Curveball Strike three called. Niles gets out of it. Gives up a couple of runs. But the Colt 45s are able to prevent the Indians from taking the lead. We'll head into the bottom of the eighth. Colt 45s look to retake the lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball, and they feature sandwiches, burgers, pizza, hot dogs, potato salad, macaroni salad, and more, including dessert. Go ahead and head on over to Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, where our food speaks for itself.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlotte's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlotte's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlotte's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy Mambo Pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlotte's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlotte's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlotte's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlotte's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlotte's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlotte's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlotte's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Alrighty, folks. Well, welcome back to the bottom of the eighth inning here at Tiger Field in this match between the Reading Colt 45s and the Fairfield Indians. The Indians scored two in the top of the inning and tied it up here at Tiger Field. The Colt 45s now looking to retake the lead. It's going to be Derek Ray coming up to the plate. For the fifth time tonight, he'll be facing off against a new pitcher, Cole Santos. And Cole Santos delivers his final warm-up pitch. And Ray now going to come up to the plate.
Now batting for your Reading Colt 45.
Again, the score is 9-9 here at Tiger Field. Ray looking to lead things off and hopefully break that tie. No outs, no one on. Ray steps in the box. Cole Santos on the mound. He'll now step on the rubber. Takes the sign. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Ball one. Now the Colt 45s, again, they scored all nine of their runs in the first three innings. They have not scored since the third inning, hoping to break that scoreless streak here. Now the 1-0 pitch. High fastball, two balls and no strikes. So two balls, no strikes to Derek Ray. 2-0 pitch, here it comes. Swung on, this time fouled into the parking lot. 2-1 becomes the count. Getting no outs here in the bottom of the eighth inning. 2-1 pitch from Santos, here it is. Low fastball in the dirt, ball two. So the count's going to move, sorry, ball three. Count's going to move to a 3-1 count now. A walk would be huge here for the Colt 45s, considering how dangerous they are on the base paths. Now, this next pitch is going to be ball four in the dirt. So Derek Ray will get himself on with a walk. And like I said, that's kind of huge here with no outs. Got to wonder if they're going to try to send Ray to second as Nate Scott, the designated hitter, comes up to the plate. Scott is 0-for-3 on the night. He's flown out twice and popped out once. He also has a walk. Ray leading off of first. Santos now in the stretch. He's a left-hander, so he's got a good view of Ray over there. Now first pitch to Scott is going to be a fastball in there for strike one. Count will be no balls and a strike. Santos looks down and takes his sign. Here's the pitch to Scott. High fastball. Ball one. Count evened up at a ball and a strike. Santos now takes his sign, sets up. The 1-1 pitch. Another high fastball. Ball two. 2-1 is the count. Reyes shows no intention of trying to steal second. He's taking a pretty modest lead over there at first, actually. Colt 45 is taking no risks here in the bottom of the eighth inning with no outs. 2-1 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and popped straight up in the air. First baseman Judkins gets under it, and now he's going to drop it. He's going to drop it, and it's going to bounce away from him, and it'll bounce into foul territory, and both runners will be safe. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Judkins just lost it in the light or what, but it just dropped right next to him. Just dropped right next to him. And Nate Scott gets on to first. And now, with no outs, Ethan Williams comes up to the plate with runners on first and second. Base hit could give the Colt 45s the lead once again. Santos looks down and takes a sign. Now he'll set up. Here comes the pitch. Bunt shown, but pulling back is Williams. It'll be ball one. High fastball. We've got Derek Ray over at first. Sorry, Derek Ray at second. Nate Scott over there at first. Williams is 0 for 2 on the night. Santos takes his sign. 1-0 pitch. Here it is. Shown bunt again, but another high fastball. And Williams will pull back. And now it looks like his third base coach is giving him the sign to swing away. Williams steps back into the box. 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. No bunt shown this time. That's going to be a fastball in there for a strike. Again, that was high fastball, but home plate umpire says it caught the zone. Somebody back here in the stands complaining a bit. 2-1 is the count to Ethan Williams. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball this time for ball three. And Cole Santos is in danger here of loading up the bases. 3-1 is the count. No outs. Runners on first and second for the Colt 45s. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, ball four. Williams gets on to first, and the bases are loaded with no outs for Jonathan Kumai. Kumai striding up to the plate. He has yet to record a hit in this game, probably because he has been hit by two pitches and walked once as well. So all he's got is a ground out, really, on the record. He's 0 for 1. Now there's going to be a mound meeting for the Fairfield Indians. Going to play some music here at Tiger Field while we wait for them to figure things out. Got to wonder if they're going to play every infielder in, try to get the out at home by all means possible, or if they're just going to go corners in, middles out.
All right, folks, here we go.
And now it looks like they're going to go all the infielders in on the grass. So Kumai comes up to the plate, and those middle infielders are, nope, they're going to call time again. There's going to be another mound meeting. Oh, boy. And they're going to bring in a new pitcher. I don't know what the idea was there, but with no outs, the Indians are bringing in a new pitcher. So while he warms up, we will go to a break. And when we come back, we'll have a new pitcher.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here. It's still the bottom of the eighth inning. Bases are loaded. Same pitcher, actually, out on the mound. For some reason, there was a little bit of a dispute between the umpires and the coaches where pitchers were not allowed to be interchanged here for some reason. I'm not sure why. But it'll be Jonathan Kumai facing off against Cole Santos. He watches the first pitch fastball go by for ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. Fastball outside for ball two. It'll be two balls and no strikes now to Jonathan Kumai. Here's the pitch from Santos. Fastball in there for strike one. Count's going to move over to two balls and a strike. There's not a lot of situations here where the Colts do not score. And now Kumai's going to chop at one and send it foul over to the right side. Count's going to be evened up at two balls and two strikes. Kumai steps back up to the plate. Santos really used a strikeout here. Two balls and two strikes. Kumai's going to call time. Step out, take a swing. Now he'll step back in. 2-2. Here's the pitch. With the bases loaded. Curveball, low, ball three. Count moves full. Well, you won't see many situations with higher pressure than this. Bases are loaded, no outs, three balls and two strikes to Jonathan Kumai. Bottom of the eighth inning, tie ball game, 9-9. Here's the pitch. Fastball, swung on and grounded to the third baseman, Brown, who's got it. He goes to first, and now at home, Derek Ray slides in and kicks out the legs of the catcher, Jones. Actually, a very smart play there from Derek Ray to kick out the legs. He slid right into home, but Jones was just in the way. And now the manager is going to come out and talk to the umpire. And I think he's going to try and argue that that was an illegal slide. It definitely was not. Ray slid right into the plate. And now they're going to have a little discussion amongst the umpires to see if that indeed was an illegal slide. I don't think Jones was even going to make an attempt at first base. He didn't look like it, but he couldn't have if he wanted to because, well, legs got taken out from under him. Again, I don't think there was any malicious intent there. Ray slid right into home plate. But Jones was just standing right on top of it. Now the umpires are going to talk about it. And well, let's see if they come to a conclusion here. Still talking about it. They're just going to call him out at home, I believe. And, yeah, that'll be that. So the bases will remain loaded. It'll be one out for Reeve Camacho.
Now ready.
Kamai reaches on the fielder's choice.
Shortstop, number 12, Reeve Camacho.
One out here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Camacho steps up to the plate. Bases loaded. Middle infielders are now back. Corner infielders still in. Now there's going to be a ball in the dirt for ball one. Bases still loaded. 1-0 is the count. One out to Reeve Camacho. Cole Santos looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll step off the rubber and step back on. Now he'll take his sign. Here's the pitch. Fastball swung on and lifted into left field. It's going to be caught by the left fielder, but tagging will be Nate Scott. And the Colt 45s take the lead off of the sack fly from Reeve Camacho.
RBI for Reeve Camacho.
So the score will be 10-9. Colt 45s here in the bottom of the eighth inning. And now we've got two outs, runners on first and second.
Now, first baseman, number 25.
That'll bring up Kyle Norton now. She steps up to the plate. Still Cole Santos out on the mound. Runners on first and second. Santos just needs one out to get out of this one. Santos comes set, now delivers. High fastball, ball two to Cal Norton. Base hit could extend this one-run lead for the Colt 45s. Now, once again, Santos comes set. He's looking over there at second. Here's the pitch. High fastball, misses the zone, ball two. Two balls and no strikes to Kyle Norton. He takes a step out of the box and then steps back in. Santos looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll set up. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball, called strike one. Count will move to two balls and a strike now for Norton. We are just about hitting that 3-hour, 15-minute mark. It's about 10:30 here at Tiger Field. Comes the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and jammed foul over to the left side. Caught by a fan. And the stands here are applauding as a nice little barehanded catch was made over there on the left side. Count's going to move to two balls and two strikes now. Santos just one strike away from getting out of this inning. Now he'll look down, take his sign. The 2-2 pitch in the dirt, ball three. So the count will move full here for Kyle Norton with two outs. Two outs. 10-9 is the score. Runners on first and second. Norton steps into the box. Santos takes his sign. Here's the pitch. No, he's going to throw over to second. Nobody was really over there, so King had to move over a few steps and reach out to try to catch that pickoff attempt. Now, Norton steps back into the box. Here's the pitch. High fastball over the head of the catcher, Jones, for ball four. So, once again, the bases are loaded for the Colt 45s. Two outs as Giacomo Crosetti comes up to bat. Crosetti is 0 for 1 tonight. He was hit by a pitch in his last appearance. Also had a sac fly and a strikeout earlier in the game. Santos sets up. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball one. We have one ball and no strikes to Giacomo Crosetti. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike one. Looked like a changeup there down the middle. Crosetti didn't quite have that timed up. And the count is now evened up at a ball and a strike. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike two. That was a fastball on the outside corner. Said he can't catch up. Again, struggles with the timing on that one. Count moves to a ball and two strikes. Base is loaded here. Santos just one strike away from getting out of it. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted deep into left field. Sorry, center field. And center fielder Gaines is under it and makes the catch. So Crosetti flies out to end the inning. Colt 45s will take the field. They're up by one run. Scores 10-9 as we head into the top of the ninth inning. And they'll see if they can shut down the Indians and get the win here. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Lucky Miller's Deli and Market. They've just moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square
Lucky
Shopping
Lucky Miller's
Center.
Deli and Market is at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, featuring mouth-watering sandwiches, French dip, Philly, tri-tip, New York steak, tri-nami, a combination of tri-tip and pastrami. Bite into a mouthful of flavor with a peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger or the jalapeno bacon ranch burger. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market is moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Our food speaks for itself. Call 530-691-4333. That's 530-691-4333.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the ninth inning. Sorry, top of the ninth inning. I don't know where my head's at right now. It's going to be Dustin Niles back out on the mound for the Colt 45s for the third consecutive inning. He allowed two runs in the last inning. Now, after the Colt 45s have scored a run and are up by one, he will look to get a save. Our ball boy, Forrest, over there working hard, getting some new baseballs for the umpire. Up to bat for the Indians is going to be number 24, Will Robeson, for the fifth time tonight. Now, I might actually have been mistaken there. I don't know if that was Niles these last two innings. I sure thought it was, but they just announced Niles like it was his first inning out there on the mound. I don't know who else would have been. You know what, folks? I'm sorry. I believe I messed this one up. I think it was David Salters out there on the mound in the previous innings. I get those numbers mixed up. The 5 and the 9 looks pretty similar on the back of the jerseys, but I do think it was David Salters out there for the past two innings. So I think this will be Niles' first inning in here. I don't know how I let that go unnoticed for so long. But it'll be Niles for the first time now facing up against Will Robeson. Now here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Count will be no balls and one strike to Will Robeson. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Swing and a miss. It's just a little weak check swing. And Robeson quickly goes down 0-2. On deck is Zion Judkins. Judkins had a double earlier in the game. 0-2 pitch. Here it comes. Low fastball, ball one. Robeson is 1-for-4 on the night. He had a double in his first at-bat. It's been pretty quiet since then, however. 1-2 pitch. Here it is. Another low fastball. Count will be evened up at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Robeson steps back into the box. Niles takes his sign and comes set. 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. High fastball. Called ball three, and I'm not so sure about that one. It was high, maybe a little higher than a typical strike zone, but with the strike zone we've seen from this home plate umpire tonight, that was pretty consistent with what he's been calling a strike. So now, full count, here's a pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Niles gets it done anyways. Nice fastball there from Niles. Gets Robeson to swing straight through it. That's his third consecutive strikeout. And that'll bring up Zion Judkins. Judkins is 1-for-4 on the night with that RBI double that I spoke of a few minutes ago. Niles looks down and takes his sign. He's 2 outs away from getting this save. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball. Called for ball one. It's getting a little chilly here at Tiger Field, or maybe it's just me. I have a nasty habit of wearing not enough layers here to the ball field. 1-0 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and fouled off to the left side. That one was fouled very high. The count's going to move to the ball on a strike now to Judkins. 1-1 pitch. Niles gets his sign. He'll set up. Here it comes. Swung on. This one's going to be lifted into left field. Left fielder Derek Ray gets under it and makes the catch for out number two. And now the Colt 45s are just 1 out away from ending this ball game. It'll be the left fielder, Jalen Edmonds, trying to keep hopes alive for the Fairfield Indians now with 2 outs. Niles sets up. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Ball one. The fans here at Tiger Field watching intently. They're all glued to the edge of their seat, hoping that Niles can get this save. 1-0 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and tapped. Out in front, Niles has it. He throws to first for out number three. And the Colt 45s win the ball game. 10-9 is the final score as Dustin Niles gets the save. The Colt 45s struggled there, allowing the Indians to come back from an 8-run deficit and tie it up in the top of the eighth. But here in the top of the ninth, Dustin Niles is able to shut them down after the Colt 45s rallied for a run in the bottom of the eighth. And the Colt 45s get the W. Well, that's pretty much all there is to say here, folks. Coming to you live from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White. Join us tomorrow for the next game in this series between the Colt 45s and the Indians. Game time is at 6 p.m. again here at Tiger Field. See you tomorrow, folks. Have a great night.
They're in the U.S. A great deal, 41% said now. That number was at 51% in May.
Yeah, you can tell that there's already war fatigue. First of all, I mean, the lack of coverage is, those things happen. I mean, we do have to, cover other things that are happening in this country. It was world well in the beginning, and now it's, barely a segment, if at all. And also, that was when there was a battle for Kyiv, capturing the capital city, and now that it seems like that is no longer a threat. You cannot say that Russia is going to control the whole country. Putin has lost that element of the war, which was the most important. But to the point of the poll and those numbers going down in terms of importance, it is because it is grinding on, right, and Americans are somewhat losing interest.
Right. France is sending howitzers, but not enough. The U.S. gave 108 howitzers. They want 1,000. They said they want tanks. They need more artillery. They did not get the long-range missile and heavy weapons that they need. Hopefully, President Biden changes his mind on that. You just do it. Don't announce it. I think that works better for it.
Thing. I know. Throughout this whole entire war, the weapons that we're going to give them. Listen, we're in the news, and I would rather not know in this regard. I would rather not know the weapons that are going to the country and have it be effective for the Ukrainians, rather than know and then have it be some sort of catastrophe or have it work against them in some way.
Yeah, so they asked for long-range precision weapons. We're giving them something. My other worry is it stays in Poland.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, get it out of Poland. Get into the fight. A lot of times the directions are in English. That doesn't help a lot of Ukrainians who sitting there with face paint on in the middle of the field.
And you were talking to Jackine on Fox and Friends this morning about the two Americans that are three Americans that are either captured, missing, or God forbid dead. And I don't think we know exactly the status of them.
Well, listen, we can't get Brittany Griner out of there, and she was playing basketball, get $1 million or something.
Yeah, and she is still in Russia, right?
And she hadn't extended a month. It's like,
I feel like there should be more outrage over that.
I do, too. Where's the NBA using leverage to have China? To have China put leverage to get her out. Really, you're sending a message to all female athletes, because all the U.S. women's soccer players went there, too. Give a lot more money to the women to play in Russia for some reason. So they go over, they'll play the WNBA season, do what they do, and then go over there. And now who's going to go over there?
Especially because this is during the time, she was detained in Russia right around the time of when the war started.
Right.
So that region was in the news a lot. You have this juxtaposition of the most successful female basketball player, a prisoner in Russia, as this war is unfolding and tensions have never been higher between the United States and Russia. It just seems like something that would naturally get more news coverage and concern than it has.
We are covering it. Yeah. You and I are doing it.
We are in this present moment. We are.
So the other big story, I think, that was a lot bigger a month ago, but still big now. Elon Musk seems pretty clear. He wants Twitter and was trying to drive the price down. So he finally met with some employees and took some questions. Here's some of this interaction.
I think it's essential to have a free speech and to be able to communicate. Yeah, just communicate freely. If there are multiple opinions, and just make sure that we're not sort of driving a narrative. In order for people to have trust in Twitter, I think it's extremely important that there be transparency. I think Twitter, in terms of like serious issues, can be a lot better in informing people about serious issues. How many times have the media gotten it right? Well, I would say almost never. Not never, but almost never.
All right, so you gave us a D minus.
Yes.
I wouldn't say never, but almost never.
So he says he wants 1 billion followers. Listen. Yeah.
My political views, I think, are moderate. I'm in favor of moderate politics, but allowing people who have, like, relatively extreme views to express those views within the bounds of the law. Free speech within the context of the law. So it's not, I'm not definitely not suggesting that we just flout the law, because we'll get shut down in that case. I think there's also this freedom of speech and freedom of reach. So I think people should be allowed to say, pretty outrageous things that are within the bounds of the law, but it doesn't get amplified, it doesn't get a ton of reach.
So what do you think about that? I think that's substantial.
Well, I think that everything that he said was so moderate and makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. When it comes to free speech, that is obviously the biggest headline. And his whole position is if it's lawful, even if it's awful, lawful and awful.
Right.
It should stay online. If you're breaking the law, then that would be removed, which right. is so far removed from what Twitter's policy is right now.
Let's see if he can keep a thick skin. What if people start ganging up on him still? Is he going to be?
They already are. I mean, they've accused him of being a racist because he grew up in South Africa, even though he left the country specifically because he didn't want to be a part of the apartheid system. So there, I don't know if you can gang up on him anymore. The one thing that I was wondering about, and this really could happen, it's awful. It's the nature of how violent our country has become, is that what if he does acquire Twitter and there is a post that leads to, there's an attack that happens and then it goes back to a post that was online and then he gets all sorts of criticism. I just wonder at the end of the day if he's going to, is it worth it? Is it really worth it for him? He already has all these successful companies. It could just be more of a headache than for what it's worth.
All right. Carl, you never give anybody a headache. She's going to stick around and take some calls. And we're going to have some fun stuff to talk about. Maybe find out if Pete's ready, if there's more to know. Don't move.
This weekend, check out Brian's new show on Fox News Channel.
His new Saturday show lets him ruin your weekends, too.
Take it easy, Gutfeld.
That really hurts.
One Nation with Brian Kilmeade. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. More of Brian coming up.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With Angie, you could cross your next project off your to-do list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need, and we'll handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. Or browse reviews, compare quotes from pros, and connect instantly, all for free. For everything from routine maintenance to a dream remodel. Because however you want your project done, we'll get it done. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
She became overweight, stinky, several vertebrae fused together. Sophie was going to be euthanized.
DinoVite.com.
I remember Sophie starting the DinoVite. She has loved it. She is no longer stinky. She is full of life.
DinoVite is nutrition.
Get them on DinoVite right away while they're healthy.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. There is always someone doing something stupid somewhere. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Join me, Jason Chaffetz, every Wednesday as I shed light on the news and make some predictions along the way. You never know who will drop in. Subscribe now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts ad-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Trey Gowdy, the Fox News Rundown, Will Kane, Brian Kilmeade, and so much more. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com for all the details. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. New from the Fox News Podcasts Network, Dana Perino, co-host of The 5 and America's Newsroom on Fox News Channel, returns to the world of audio with a new limited-time podcast, Everything Will Be Okay with Dana Perino. Building off the success of her best-selling book of the same name, Dana provides an unequaled brand of advice built on real-life experience and interviews experts and individuals that make a difference in the lives of others. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
You know, it's amazing. You know, so we've done More to Know together, Carly Shimkus, a lot, right?
Many times.
Right. And so I kind of put that to One Nation, and when I brought it up and they said, what do you want on your show? I said, I want something that's unscripted, almost like More to Know, and we call it the news duel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how many people, when they go to do it, they're very uncertain that they want to do it.
Oh, really?
They're happy afterwards, but they're like, I don't get it. Like, what? How do I know when to stop doing the news? Like, are you going to say anything? Maybe I will. Do I say anything when you have something to read? I don't know. You tell me. Maybe. They don't like the whole unscripted nature. You like the unscripted.
I do. I love it. And did you reveal who's going to be your More to Know guest or your News Duel guest this week?
Yeah, it's Ainsley Earhart.
That's exciting.
Right. It is very exciting.
Even though you sit next to each other 3 hours a day, right. 5 days a week, it's still exciting when it's in a different setting.
So tell me how you'd feel about this.
Okay.
We asked for Ainsley in March. We said, when are you available? And she's like, end of June. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm like, will June ever come? Like, will we survive?
She did not say that.
Swear to you, it's totally true. But not to me directly. I mean, that's basically what I said. Yeah, ask Angela. I go, yeah. She gave us a date in June. I'm like, basically, they were looking at me like, do you guys talk? Do you guys get along?
That is so funny. Well, I know why she probably did that is because you do tape the show, I mean, really late. So,
right.
I mean, compared to the Fox and Friends schedule.
And up until now, a lot of people.
And she's got her daughter who's, you know.
Right. Up until now, not many people knew we were taping the show. And you just exposed that. Fantastic. Sometimes you do. And I am.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, thank you. I am interviewing Greg Norman today.
Live.
Yeah, the Live Tour.
Yeah.
Because this is pretty big.
It is
huge. They've suspended 17 players from the PGA who are in this new Saudi-backed golf league.
And it's his golf league. He started
it? He's the CEO. They approached him, and the Saudi wealth fund said, mm-hmm. listen, we want to sponsor a golf league. They met with Jack Nicklaus. They met with him. And he's like, I'll do it. I've been trying to do this my whole life. I want to get a rival league to create two true free agency. But the controversy is, should you be in bed with Saudi Arabia?
I know.
And the answer is, yeah. They own Newcastle. I'm pretty sure the fans are still showing up for Newcastle.
Yeah.
They have sponsors. They are sponsoring in Saudi Arabia tournaments that golfers go to is Ping, is Titleist, and all these others.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't want the Saudi to be part of this. The Saudis are part of. But I ask you, this is a counter argument to that. President Biden's going there in 3 weeks to ask him for a favor. During the Abraham Accords, guess what the key country was to make sure these other countries recognize Israel? Saudi Arabia.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and then you have the counter argument is the 9/11 families are speaking out against that league, and it's really, it's hard to argue against how they feel, but they are handing out more money than God to these golfers. I mean, it's life-changing amounts of money. So.
Absolutely, but they also have a free a missile defense system that we handed them to protect them against Houthi rebels.
Right.
So
the geopolitical situation is complicated at best.
Let's find out if there's more to know.
More to know.
Ladies
with
first.
Carly Shimkus.
Oh, my goodness. I forgot.
Oh, wow. I love that. I feel very special. All right. Adding a spoonful of sugar to a cup of coffee could be the key to a longer life, according to a new study. Scientists have found coffee drinkers are at a lower risk of death than non-coffee drinkers, but those who like to drink sweet coffee are less likely to die. Wow. Sugar being good for you when you put it in coffee?
We never heard that, but this is good for me because I tried to go black and it wasn't working.
What's your coffee order?
I have one and a half sugars and milk.
Do you like Splenda or?
No.
Oh, I love Splenda.
Really?
Of all the artificial sugars, that's mine.
You choose that.
Yeah, or Stevia, which is better
for
you.
Do you like, I can't believe it's not butter?
I mean, I've never really thought about it, but I'll have it.
Right.
Yes.
But it's
long,
called,
flowing hair.
You know, the one thing is, my hair smells terrific. No, your hair smells terrific.
I don't remember that.
I don't
know what that is.
Do you remember, does Eric or Pete remember that? Gee, your hair smells terrific?
Gee, your hair smells terrific.
That's the name of a shampoo.
That wasn't President Biden?
No. Wait. Was that President Biden, or was Carly too quick
it's
for me?
It's not, but we originally pulled that because it sounds like President Biden.
That was unbelievable speed. Next, Justin Bieber is forced to postpone more tour dates from his highly anticipated world tour because he's got that facial paralysis.
No.
What's going on with that? It's called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. It's frozen the side of his face. The website says he will resume his world tour July 31st.
Yeah, it's so sad. And I don't think anybody knew about this disease before he had it. And now a lot of people know. But apparently the facial paralysis will go away.
Scary.
It is scary.
Because imagine if it happens, just like me or you. You could be totally healthy, but if one side of your face doesn't work.
You know, when I was a little girl, my mom told me she didn't want me to. I kept on going outside with my hair wet. And she didn't want me to do that, so she told me that if I did, my face would freeze in the position that it was in. And I've always, I learned, like, maybe when I was 17 that wasn't true.
But you still don't want to risk it.
No, I never go out with my hair wet now.
All right.
Carly, don't do it. Your face is going to freeze, and it works.
Next.
All right. Watching less than 1 hour of TV a day could lower heart disease risk. That's obvious, because you're in a sedentary state, and the couch potato lifestyle is not good. 4 hours of television is the worst for your heart. So if you're going to watch Fox and Friends Weekend in a row, please do. But you could do it and then just jog in place.
Thank you. So it's a treadmill.
Yes.
The IFA, FIFA announced Wednesday that 16 North American cities in the 2026 World Cup, you're talking about maybe $1 billion coming into your city, so
yeah.
This matters. The cities that are going to have the World Cup, because it's shared by Mexico and Canada, New York, New Jersey, Los Angeles, Dallas, San Francisco, Miami, Atlanta, Seattle, Houston, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and Boston. Who didn't get it? Nashville did not get it. Washington, D.C. did not get it. Orlando did not get it. They are all crestfallen.
Yeah, except for the people who commute. And I'm sure they're like, okay, that's fine. Because, you know, the traffic.
Yes. But come on,
sorry.
Please.
Should I not have said that?
But it helps the city.
It does. It does.
Next.
Yes. All right. Wow. Is this Smart Enough sponsored by Folgers? According to research from Johns Hopkins University, scientists report drinking just one cup of coffee daily.
What? You have two coffee stores?
May reduce your risk of acute kidney injury in comparison to non-coffee drinkers. Shall I go on or just leave it there?
I think we should leave it there.
Okay, that's
good. I mean, do you get kicked in the kidney when you're drinking the coffee?
I don't know. Drinking coffee, though, good for your heart and good for your kidney.
As long as you have sugar.
That's right.
Who would think?
Splenda.
This is the anti-health more to know.
That's right. It sponsored by... Should we work on a Folger sponsorship in the commercial break?
I think it should be, gee, your hair smells terrific.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase
increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenics.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text CAR to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenics, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenics samples are not available in stores, so text CAR to 42424 right now. Text C-A-R to 42424. Text CAR to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.